This week, Orange Lounge Radio has turned 18. New media, works in progress, same great hosts. It's been a contentious week in gaming news, but we have a little bit of everything to discuss. The march to the next generation of gaming consoles, sequels, sequels of series past, even more remasters of truly underrated titles, time travel, the multiverse, and plenty more. Don't take my word for it. Here are your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 825 of our show for this June the 28th of 2020. Do not be alarmed. Do not adjust your televisions. Do not adjust your radios. Yes, there's been a few changes, a few little fresh coat of paint to celebrate 18 years of doing Orange Lounge Radio. So we had a brand new, and the Twitch viewers, because we do tape live every Sunday night at twitch.tv/VOG Network, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. The Twitch viewers are seeing some like videos. So like we used to have some static images, and now we've kind of replaced those with videos. And most notably, what you're going to hear on the podcast feed and you're going to hear on Twitch is you're going to hear that brand new intro. So the old intro, we're very thankful to MidiHead, who did some stuff for DDR and Beat Media back in the day. Thank you so much. We've been using that intro for a very long time, but you know it's been like 14, 15 years. So it was time for a fresh coat of paint. And this intro is very special. Because wait until I tell you who did the new intro. The new intro is done by my co-host, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers, accomplished Hi. Musician. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm okay. I just played around and oops, I pooped an intro.
No, it sounds great. And what I love, you know, when I first heard it, you've had many different iterations of that. When I first heard it, I was like, okay, this isn't like quite as like, you know how like the old intro was very like, it's time to begin the show, duh, 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 you know, and that's a compliment. But this one's very like light and airy and fantasy. And I was kind of like, it kind of reminds me of like a 5-key Beat Mania song, which is a nice little like throwback, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for the compliments, guys. I just, I've been learning Logic Pro 10. Mm-hmm. And I'm really enjoying it. It's just, and I just started playing around with like a few things, you know, because I'm still kind of a beginner at it. But as I got through it, I was like, okay. And then I just picked out some like weird stuff on there. Like some of that really synthy stuff was actually organ music that I changed instruments on in the MIDI. And I really just liked how it turned out. So I'm like, hey, listen to this. Hey, listen.
I'm surrounded by accomplished musicians because Dark Sakura, of course, did that theme. And joining me, of course, every week. By the way, my name is Rob Roberts. I don't know if I said that, but hi. But joining me every week, of course, is Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki.
I haven't done anything in a long time.
I know, but you used to. Now, this is a throwback, and a lot of our like more recent listeners probably have no idea about this. But you used to do remixes, like mashups, like what do they call that club? Is it Booty or whatever it's called in San Francisco where they do the mashups? Like, you used to do a lot of that type of stuff on OLR, and you just haven't done one in a while. Yeah.
I haven't.
A friend of mine is a DJ there.
Yeah. And meanwhile, me, I played the clarinet in high school, but, like, that's about as far
as...
That's as far as my music goes. Like, I've tried... I got this application on Steam in a recent sale. It's called Rhythmic. And it's a good sequencer. Like, there's nothing negative against this application. I think, you know, if I was able to construct anything, it would be in this application. But I'm just such a boob when it comes to that stuff. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, so I guess I need to start somewhere. I don't know.
Everyone has to start somewhere. There's always a learning curve when you're trying something new.
True.
Now, if you want to see me do complete and utter failure, watch me try to figure stuff out in Final Cut. I can't make move. I've made my first actual movie thing in Final Cut, and it's of Midna being stupid.
Lovely.
To our new theme song, by the way.
Well, I didn't use Final Cut. I didn't use, I got to say, I didn't use an Apple product for any of the movies tonight. Except there is one exception. No, there is one exception. I used a free software called Lightworks to do a lot of the video editing, which has worked very well. But the smush intro that only the Twitch people see. If you've never watched us live on Twitch, right after Bobby ends and we pick up, we usually have about a minute or two because we're trying to get everything together, make sure our recording's starting. So it takes a minute or two for things to transition. And we have it used to be a static image of Mr. Smush that would say, don't go anywhere, we're coming right up. Now, I built a montage in iMovie from pictures from my phone and exported that into Lightworks to put on the stuff I know how to do, like use my fonts and my image. So I did do that. I did do one thing in iMovie. So this is truly a buy. We love all computer products. we embrace them all because
Rob,
it's like trying to hold something together before it breaks. You put a little duct tape there. You put a little string here.
One of these days, I'm going to sit you down and teach you motion.
Okay. Sounds
that
good.
That splash thing that I did mm-hmm. with the interesting animations on it before, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. the teaser I made, that was all made in motion.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, it's if you've used Flash before, motion is easy.
I was going to say, also, speaking of art, we are debuting brand new album art this week that everybody's going to see. And that is also you actually, to be fair, you did that like 5 months ago. It was supposed to be for episode 800. And for reasons and things didn't happen. And then COVID happened. And it was like, well, and so the thought was, well, we'll sit on all of this until we're all back under the same roof. And it'll be like our big, like, oh, soft relaunch. Here we go. But now, unfortunately, you know, obviously the COVID thing's just getting worse in many places. And it seems more and more likely, you know, we're just going to have to stay in separate locations, probably at least for the rest of the year. Who knows? Yeah. You know, until it's safe, and we will be listening to scientists on when it is safe. And that's that on that.
And we just had an announcement here, at least in California, that six major counties are having to close bars again, with us included. And one of the bars that I think you and I have frequented quite a bit, I'm actually friends with one of the general managers there, and they had an incident where someone came in and they had no symptoms when they came in. 3 days later, they were symptomatic and thankfully called to tell them so, you know, which means that they were sick well before they actually went into the club.
Yeah. And I haven't been to a bar since before I went on that cruise. It was probably the last time I was at a bar in Miami. So if we can't get together under the same house, I have no interest in going to a bar because a bar is where you go. So you don't have to meet up at somebody's house. So that I know I've done the restaurant thing, and sometimes I felt very safe. The most recent time, you missed it on last week's episode, I kind of went off. I did not feel great, and I will not go back to that restaurant even after this is over. But I have no interest in going to bars. I actually don't think we're on the mandatory list, but we are on a recommended list. There's like 6 mandatory, 8 recommended. But regardless,
no, I think we're on the mandatory.
Are we? Well, I thought
I'll
we were
double
on the
check.
But
yeah, I said at least 6 of them, Sacramento County included.
Regardless, none of us are going to a bar anytime soon. I just don't see that.
I fussed at some of my fellow sisters quietly.
Yeah.
Because they did.
No, I know. And I know the one bar that's not downtown, I've heard, has been hopping. And I'm like, you couldn't pay me to go there right now. You could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm right, the leather place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's where they went. Yeah. I'm still like, that place is so confined. But anyway, not to derail.
Anyway, yes, it is a video game show. The place that has pinball machines. Let's get back to games.
Actually, in my house.
Before we get back to games, I do want to acknowledge it has been 18 years of Orange Lounge Radio. We started this show on June 23rd, 2002. So this past Tuesday, we crossed having done this on a regular basis for 18 years, on a pretty much a weekly basis. Sure, we've missed a show here and there, but for the most part, you know, we're putting out 40, 45 new shows a year, probably more. That's more than most television shows. That's more than most television shows put out. This is a huge accomplishment for us, and I don't really see any, you know, now that we have like a fresh coat of paint and all this other new stuff, I don't see any signs of us slowing down anytime soon. I've just been very grateful for these on Sunday nights, especially in light of this whole like COVID thing. You know, as much as it stinks that we can't all be in the same room, at least this experience gives me something to kind of like look forward to. And it's like, I have a reason to get out of bed today. Like, I know it's as dreary and as depressing as that sounds, it is still like a motivation to like do something normal, if that makes sense, in a non-normal world. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, and normal is relative.
Yes.
So this is normal now.
Mm-hmm. On a much more lighthearted note, let me ask this, you know, for everybody, what's kind of been like a great reward from having done this for 18 years? Like, what has been that motivation to keep going? Because that's a question I get a lot, is how do you keep motivated for 18 years to do this? And there's a part of me that's like, I wouldn't know what to do with my Sunday nights without it. Something. Yeah. It's like that Wayne and Garth line where Garth goes, eventually it becomes a part of you. It's like... That's kind of like where OLR is in some ways. But what about for you guys? Darsara?
Spite.
Spite?
Well, seriously, that first few weeks of doing the show, and it was like, you need to get back in the kitchen. Well, guess what?
That was more when we went to a podcast, and suddenly we had a much larger audience. I never, I don't know.
Yeah, it was in the first few weeks of doing the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was.
But guess who's here and still podcasting, and guess who's probably still living in Mama's basement?
Loki.
I will read a basement bitch, okay?
And guess who went back to the kitchen?
Dan?
Because I'm in the kitchen.
Loki did. Get back in the kitchen where you belong, Loki. Loki, what about you? What's been the reward to do this for 18 years for you?
I don't know, just all the responses from people, you know, inspiring others to do their own shows and just, I don't know, routine.
Yeah.
Plus I get to talk about games because no one else wants to hear about that except for my kids. And then, but I don't know, they talk about a lot about one game. So,
In all seriousness, I would like to say that this gives us an amazing platform for advocacy for gamers who can't advocate for themselves.
True.
You know, we just a few weeks ago, we spoke out on Black Lives Matter. We've spoken for, you know, the whole quilt bag spectrum, as you call it, you know, and for some of the lesser accepted sexualities. So, I mean, hello, I'm Ace. Hi. We've all gone through some major changes, and the fact that we are basically, quote, normal people living normal lives and do this for others, really, and, you know, for ourselves, because, hello, I am a little selfish. I still see no reason to stop. As long as people love us, I will thrive on that, like a goddess living on her tributes.
And to be fair, we're not going to stop talking on any of those things anytime soon, no matter what tweets we're getting. So do look out for that.
We're getting tweets. I haven't paid attention.
I get weird stuff once in a great while. It's not. I let the positive outweigh the negative, and the positive is far, far, far more. Let's see. So SG100 Matt in chat says, yeah, I don't know what I used to do on Sunday nights before this show. And Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, I don't even remember my Sundays before OLR. It's been so long. Both of those comments from our Twitch chat at VOG Network. I think back to what was I doing on Sunday nights before? We used to go to a club a lot that doesn't exist anymore. It's a Kohl's now.
I think
where the club was is the PetSmart, actually, but it's a freaking strip mall now.
Do you remember we had my bachelorette party there?
Yeah.
And you came to my bachelorette party, which was awesome. And we had a bajillion Jello shots that Jessica made.
Mm-hmm.
And I made everybody watch Xanadu.
Mm-hmm.
And we started watching Barbarella. And then we're like, hey, let's go to the club. So we went off to the Rage.
I think I separated from the girls at that point because like something else was going on or something, I think.
It would be funny though if Cole still did that Sunday night. You know?
I'll meet that you down at Housewares. It's going to be a party. Get the Keurig on, yo.
It's definitely to answer my own question. It's definitely part of the routine thing for me. It's a great way to make sure I'm talking to Jamie and Matt at least once a week, if not more often. I think part of why I've really loved doing this is just meeting all of you guys that are listeners and part of the show's family and interacting with you guys. And it's really funny because, you know, as I've traveled to different cities, you know, I used to have a job where I did a little more travel throughout the U.S. and I would end up in all these different cities, or I would go on vacation to different cities. And I remember somebody close to me commenting once, like, Rob, it doesn't seem to matter where you go in the country. You always seem to know people in this city because you're always meeting up with somebody for dinner or whatever it is. And I'm kind of like, well, I mean, yeah, when you live on the internet, like, I'm fortunate through OLR, and granted some other things I've done online, but mostly OLR, I have met a network of awesome people online that, you know, I'm happy to call my friends and hang out with IRL. And I've done that when I've gone to places like New York, Chicago, you name it. I've probably met somebody through OLR there. Not that I'm going to meet just anybody in a deep, dark corner. These are people I've interacted with for a very long time and feel safe with. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. But like, I remember like in New York, it was probably like 2006. There was a nice big chunk of OLR listeners, probably like 5 or 6. And we all went to like a Dave and Buster's. It was like a little mini OLR con. It was a lot of fun. So, and when I went back just recently, I was able to meet a couple people like YYR and Matt and Rama, and, you know, it's still good to keep in touch with all my pals out there. So it's great.
And I remember when Monday came out for, a con.
Yeah. That was a while ago.
And then I drifted my Lancer going. Yeah. It was Phantom 8. I drifted my Lancer going on to Treasure Island. Cause I was like, hey, let's go here. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And frightening. Times. And very frightening.
So, yeah, I'm thankful to everybody that's met and taken part in this. And I really do appreciate you guys. And some of you guys just lurk, and that's fine too. You're listening to the podcast feed, and then we'll get an email out of the blue like, oh yeah, I've been listening since like 2006. And I'll be like, who are you? You never send an email or call or anything. But I'm like, you know what? I still appreciate this person for being a part of it. So if you want to lurk, hey, that's fine too. Like, I'm glad you've enjoyed what we've been putting out and that you all continue to listen regularly. So, all right. Well, we are going to move on with the show and talk about what's going on in the video game world and all the things we discuss every week here at Orange Lounge Radio. So let's get to our kickoff topic tonight, which I wish we had a quote unquote happier thing to discuss, but this is one of those, we need to discuss it. This is something the gaming industry is going through. And like Jamie alluded to earlier, sometimes we have to address the difficult stuff too. Let me turn it over to Jamie, actually. I think it's going to bring us up to speed on what's going on.
Yeah. And when they talk about an elephant in the room, this would be an elephant the size of a kaiju. Just saying, it's pretty big and people have just been trying to ignore it forever. But it's really come to a head. Basically, there are allegations against quite a number of, I'd say, prominent men in the video game industry. And it now looks like we have another instance added on top of it for sexual misconduct against, I'm going to mispronounce this guy's name, but Chris Avalone. Four women rose to accuse him of sexual misconduct. He's a acclaimed video game writer and a leading and actually one of the developers he was working with basically they parted ways with him even though there was another game in the works. And then there was another lady that accused Omid Dariani, who is the CEO of Online Performers Group, which is a talent agency that works with streamers, of making unwelcome sexual advances. And so Dariani resigned from his position on Sunday. And then there's a lot of streamers who were planning on doing, I don't know if this was this upcoming Wednesday, I'd have to double check. I want to do a blackout for women on Twitch, which would basically, the whole point of it is to make them see that this is really, really just a prime platform for all kinds of harassment to women streamers. And, you know, not just, you know, it's women of all backgrounds. They just haven't really been doing a whole lot to help women who are gamers on Twitch, who are paying for their platform to exist. And, you know, and looking just in the past, I mean, we had the whole Gamergate thing before. We had the harassment of Anita Sarkeesian, you know, and it was real harassment. Several other, you know, people that I know, a couple of other podcasters too, have been harassed in any type of online game. And a lot of us have been turning to online gaming because we don't have really any other social circle right now to go out and participate in. One of the other women said that he went and told, you know, that Avalone went and told her that he never meant any harm. But, you know, he was quoted saying, "If I can't do anything to apologize for it, I understand, and there's nothing more to be done." Bullshit. And the one who talked about, her name is apparently Carissa, she's not giving her last name, was really on top of this, has just been bringing it to attention and spoke with Bloomberg about it too. So she said that it happened when she met Avalone at a convention in 2012, and then another one in 2013, and then another third one, who now works at a large company, posted on Twitter a screenshot of an explicit message that she received from him in 2013 when she was looking to break into the industry. And another fourth said that he groped her repeatedly at a nightclub in 2014. And he's not saying anything about it. And also Obsidian CEO, who was working with him, also didn't comment about it as well. And then another thing that this Carissa said is that he got her blackout drunk and tried to rape her. Drunk rape. Which, if you can't consent, it's rape. Just saying. And it's just absolutely disgusting. You know, there another game designer, Christy Dana, also said that she went out on a drink and he kept buying drinks for the group. And then he... you know, she passed out and woke up naked next to him. Again, that's rape. If you can't consent, it is rape. It's just really disgusting. You know, it's absolutely disgusting. And we've got more and more and more coming out because, you know, I think that we're not post Me Too. We are constantly going to see it because it is time to not be quiet about this. You know, I had advancements 1 year at E3, I'm not going to get into it, but it's really not, it's like these guys here in this industry think that, oh, you know, you're not going to make it very far without something I have to give you. And it's kind of a casting couch situation, you know? Oh, you want to get in it? Well, you got to do something for me. It's some quid pro quo there. And no, that is not right. You know, these garbage people need to be held accountable and have their balls nailed to the wall, first of all, which I would pay to see done. Just saying. But they need to be held accountable. This is unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. And I'm finally glad to see that there are more and more people speaking out against it and naming names. Put the proof out there, keep your receipts, and post them.
It definitely feels like on Twitter, like there has just been a avalanche of these sorts of reports. And it's not surprising, but it's still depressing. You know, it's kind of that situation. It's kind of like, unfortunately, some people in power use that power for very crappy things. And I think, you know, we're seeing that. That has been somewhat of a recurring theme in 2020, just over and over again. People in power are using power for crappy things, and the rest of us are not going to take it anymore. And it's gross, obviously. You know, like Jamie, I'm glad that people are being called out, and we're setting a precedent and a rule that you should not be using your power for this shitty behavior. And I'm seeing it everywhere on Twitter, and it's sad at the, you know what I mean, Jamie, right? Like it's mm-hmm. one of those, like, yeah. I'm sad, but I'm not surprised. I'm glad to see people are, you know, having to answer for these sorts of things, but at the same time, gross, you know, you thought better of certain people, and it's a time.
Well, and there's another one. A PR person for Riot Games also shared an explicit text. And at the time, she was trying to break in, so she forgave it, you know. But still, it has to go public that this behavior is not right, no matter who does this to you. I'm glad to see this garbage now being held accountable for it and having difficulty finding work and being pushed out of work. And we need to do this with more people. You know, we need to do this with racists. We need to do this with white supremacists. We definitely need to do it with definitely these sexual predators who are just pure garbage. You know, all of these garbage humans need to be held accountable. End of story. Call them out.
What can we do? Well, not we. I mean, I don't think we sitting here can do much to change Twitch. But what can Twitch do to change Twitch in these? You talked about the blackout, which I actually think was this past week. I know there was a Twitch blackout that happened on, I think it was Wednesday. But I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't future protests forthcoming and so forth. But what can, because, you know, Twitch is in this interesting position because it is a platform, but they don't, I mean, and I don't think it's realistic that they have the platform to be the detective, to be the local, you know, and so forth. But what can Twitch do to help make their platform safer?
There are two words, and it's not just for Twitch. It's for all really forums.
Fair.
It's for the medical industry. It's for mental health. Believe women. Don't just start writing it off and saying, well, you had to have done something to have provoked this. Look at it with an objective eye. Look at the proof. Oops, I just hit my mute button.
I was gonna say you cut up.
Yeah, look at the proof submitted. Look at those chat logs. Look at screenshots that are provided. And believe when we say this is happening. You know, I keep thinking back to, you know, it was a few years ago where apparently, like, some guy had used the lady's email about something. They were both in the same industry, did the same thing, and he started finding that people weren't responding to the requests he had made, that they were being condescending, where she was starting to get her stuff done again. You know, she had found herself in a slump and found it difficult to get things from people to finish her work. And it's ridiculous that it took a man experiencing sexism to believe her, because he said he hadn't believed her before that. And then, you know, on top of that, just when we provide you the proof, don't start asking, oh, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Fuck that. Why didn't you believe when we brought this to your attention, and how many times do we have to do it?
Let me get an important... Sorry. Don't want to cut you off.
One other thing I was saying, you know how I mentioned the medical industry? Do you know that it takes us sometimes up to 7 years longer for heart conditions to be diagnosed? And I'm pretty sure that's what happened with Dan's mom. Mm. That she would be alive if they had believed her that she was worried about her heart.
Mm.
That we did get the notice that it was a heart condition.
And that's a big issue in the medical industry for sure, is that doctors, you know, kind of a lot of times will put a stamp on a certain set of conditions and they don't necessarily listen to the patient. I know that's a huge, huge issue. I do want, sorry, if I,
just,
I
just one little thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just people, if you want to really look up how bad women have it, look up endometriosis diagnoses, and that's it.
Let me get this comment in our chat from Questbuster, because I think this is very important when we talk about how can Twitch do a better job. And all, I say Twitch, like Jamie said, meaning all forums and stuff. But Questbuster says, there's a Twitch executive that has also had allegations leveled against him. And that person is in charge of partnerships, which for some isn't surprising considering their past behavior when it comes to selective bans. And obviously that's a huge issue if, you know, the call is coming from inside the house, so to speak. That's a huge mm-hmm. issue that Twitch has to deal with. And there's also a
part of the trash.
Yeah. But there's also a part of me that's like, how does one person within Twitch carry so much power over partnerships? That's because if this guy didn't have that kind of power, he wouldn't be able to leverage it against people with these alleged, you know, issues that are going on. So I kind of think that's also an issue, is that there should, one person should not be left to dictate. And maybe it doesn't really work that way, but it definitely seems like this individual, again, if these allegations are true, because legally I have to say that, and so forth, where did this person get all that power? Why are all those eggs in this basket? And I think that's something Twitch needs to look at, is the division of power within the organization and making sure that there is a decent amount of women in power, minorities in power. And to be fair, I believe the person getting the complaints is a minority, but it doesn't like matter. You know what I mean? They still need to have representation across the board in different positions of power, if that makes sense.
Well, and to bring attention to what Bobby just said in chat, he said, and the sad part is that it could be any man before you, not all men this. And that is really the thing. And that actually is going to go back to, I think, even with the police thing too, you know, the all cops are bastards thing. The problem is that there are enough that means we can't trust any until, you know, we know them and the proof has been laid bare and we know that this is a trustworthy person. And even then, there are people out there who are complete predators who will lean in, you know, try to be the gentleman, and then they turn around, well, I'm a nice guy, you owe me. So even then, you know, so before anyone says like the not all men thing, it's enough. It is enough to make us trust none of you.
Bobby in chat says,
I trust you, Rob.
Well, actually, let me let me follow that up in just a minute, actually. Bobby says, while it's great that I know I'm not a creep, I give off the creep vibe if someone just looks at me at a gaming event. I don't expect any woman to trust me at a gaming event. I mean, I have long hair, goatee, heavy set. I fit the profile. Bobby's a great guy for what it's worth, but I understand what he's saying. And like you say, Dark Soccer, you trust me, but here's the thing. So like, you know, I love to go out and play like Pokemon Go and Ingress and Orna and all these location-based games in the park, right? Well, just recently I was at a park and I was walking around farming in Ingress. And, you know, that involves, I'm staring at my phone, I'm doing this thing. This woman at the park thought I was taking pictures of her. And she's like, can you not point that at me? Da, 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 da. And while there was a part of me that wanted to clap back and be like, don't flatter yourself, there is also that part of me that's like, let it go. She's obviously got something going on that you don't know about. So I just kind of like turned so my back was to her and kind of, you know, kept doing my thing a different direction. So, and unfortunately, you know, playing the location-based games, I got, and even just yesterday, somebody was, it wasn't quite the same situation, but somebody was like, are you taking pictures of that car? What is that your car? And I was like, no, I'm playing a game. Da, 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 da. And she was like, oh, okay. You know, I kind of like tilted my phone enough so that you could see the Ingress screen, and I don't expect that to make sense to anybody. But, you know, so my point is, and I am kind of like tying this to games in a way, is that, you know, I have to remember that not everybody is going to think I have the best intentions. I have to kind of earn that, if that makes sense.
And the other thing, too, is that gosh, I just lost my train of thought on that one. It's that we, that women, you know, and anybody who is in, I'm going to go ahead and say a marginalized group, has to do extra to watch our asses. You know, if I'm going out to, say, check the mail, I have my keys in my hand like I'm going to stab a bitch. You know, if I'm walking out to my car, when I am, you know, in Midtown, even in Sisterface, you know, going out and doing ministry, I still have one of my sisters with me to walk to the car. Even though not many people, you know, have had pretty good responses. Everyone's like, oh, hey, sister, hey. I still do not go alone.
I think conventions need to have, and to be fair, like a lot of them do have a policy, although it's not always well known. And so it needs to be something that's like easily accessible and easily understandable. There should definitely be policies at conventions for people that do not feel safe, like how they can report that they feel like they're in an unsafe position and somebody with con security or something can either like escort them to a car or to a hotel or whatever it is that they need, you know. And sometimes that kind of stuff is like an afterthought, like that number or that procedure should be like on the back of the badge. And again, some cons do have that. Like, you know,
yeah.
And it's
one of the ones I was working with had it actually built into policies now.
Cool. But that should be the standard, right?
Yeah, it should be.
And E3 didn't have that. And it, well, at least in the years we went, and maybe they've changed it since then. I haven't been in many years. And that is something that, you know, industry shows and industry experts need to have as well, you know?
Well, and the thing is, and, you know, back when we were doing E3, you know me, I go into pure con mode and I wander off by myself. But I also have this kind of weave that I do in crowds, you know? And, like, if I am, you know, a lot of times when I was out doing cosplay, I would have a very large prop with me because it's damn hard to miss a fan that's as big as I am. And it's damn hard to miss big black wings walking around through, you know, a crowded hall, or wearing, like, 6-inch platform heels that I could, you know, kick somebody to death with if I chose to. You know, when I do... Even in choosing, like, my cosplay for going to conventions, I try to pick something that I can use as a weapon or I can use to defend myself. I like to go by myself.
Yeah.
I shouldn't need somebody to protect me.
SSGO100 Matt in chat says, my girlfriend gets harassed in public, including in gaming. Men often feel the need to test her gaming knowledge or flex their superiority to her. She handles it well, but it's frustrating that happens to her and many others. You know what? You bring up an excellent point, Matt, and that is that we
deal with that.
Like, it is the year 2020, and we all need to make an agreement. I think this is going to be a very easy thing for our hosts and our listeners to all agree to. I think this will be very easy, and I'm not sure we're the ones that necessarily need to change our mindset, but can we kind of start a wave here and get the people we know to do this? And this is simply, can we just accept that everyone plays video games and everyone can play video games, and video games are fun for everyone, and everyone should be able to enjoy video games, and everyone is going to like video games at different levels of enthusiasm, meaning not everybody's going to know the name of every single monster in The Legend of Zelda, and that's fine. That doesn't mean they're not a gamer. And some people do know the names of every monster in The Legend of Zelda, and that's fine too. They're not a nerd or a basement dweller. They just like games the way that another person might be able to name the baseball roster for the New York Yankees in the year 2004. Right?
Yeah.
Everybody has their different passions and enthusiasms and so forth, and we need to respect fandoms.
Yeah. And I even, you know, I'll even, because I do get the, oh, prove it thing, you know, whatever. And I mean, thankfully, I've got the podcaster. I'm like, look me up on this. That's all I have to say. But Google me, bitch. Right. But, you know, the other thing is that, you know, I'm just flat out saying, I don't have shit to prove to you. I know myself. Fuck you. That's all I say.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if I really feel like proving it, I'm like, name a video game system. I'll tell you if I have it.
And, you know, and I used to, you know, funny enough to kind of bring this full circle with the 18 years of OLR thing, I used to complain about this a lot in the earlier days of OLR, was the judgment I would get as a gay dude because I played video games. And it was like, oh, what, you don't follow fashion or listen to Madonna or, you know, and I am absolutely stereotyping here, but these types of things like would happen is that it was like, oh, you play video games? Isn't that like what, like, you know, basement boys do type of thing? And so, you know, that now, luckily, in the years that we've been doing this show, I kind of feel like gay nerds and gamers, like, that has really, like, there's a lot of gay guys that play video games, and that's very much accepted now. Like, I don't feel the same way now in 2020 that I probably did in the earlier days of this show. But you know what?
The age of the gamer.
Well, you know what helped a lot with that? Was having a place like when we had Gamer X. And like, if I could point out, when did things feel like they started to turn around? Oh, when there was a convention for people like me. That was a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Con, you hear us? Bring it back.
Well, I don't think he'll be bringing it back. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
The organization, yes. And obviously not in the age of COVID either, but, at some point, you know, hopefully we do see a convention like that. Well, there is that Flame Con that happens in New York. I think that's a little more, it's more like a gay nerd con than just gay games, but I would love to go to that at some point.
And you know, the bar that people were going to that we were just poo-pooing earlier about people going there,
mm-hmm.
I actually am doing flyers and advertisement for their classic game Friday once a month.
Which so. I love, because the one time I went, Jamie, it was really sad. But I'm glad to hear they're stepping their game up. Pun.
Oh, yeah. No, they're really trying to make it better. And, you know, I said that, you know, I can't, of course, can't do it now. But I was like, I'll bring the Turbo Graphics. We'll bring a TV. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
You know. And but I've been doing the flyers and everything for that once it comes out. Of course, that all really got put to the sidelines. But I'm really good friends with the person that runs that.
Cool. Well, I hope to see that improve. Anyway, I know this is a big topic and we probably need to spend more time on it. But I think you still have a 7:30 cutoff, right, Jamie? So I probably need to keep.
Yeah, I do. But I can budget a little bit.
OK, well, let's go ahead and move forward with the show. As we have other things to discuss, but I'm sure this topic that was just under discussion will unfortunately come up again. But it's one of those things where I hope we can learn, you know, as a group to do better through these things. You know, like Darksakura said, believe women. Like I said, respect fandoms and, you know, that everybody plays video games and so forth. And I think once these types of attitudes start to really become, they spread and they become out there, I think those will be the first steps into creating a better environment for games, if that makes sense.
So agreed.
All right, well, let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks. Since we are gamers, what were the types of video games that we were playing this week? Darksakura, how was your gaming week?
I have been playing, of course, a lot of Animal Crossing because it's easy. And I've also been, I actually beat every new puzzle on Patterned again, which I love that game. It's so relaxing. It's so chill. That's really been the big two. And actually I started playing Words with Friends too, which I blame, Samantha of, Stuff Mom Never Told You podcast. I happen to message and say, hey, I haven't played Words with Friends in a while. She's like, play with me. I'm like, okay, I will. She's cool. So I'm now playing Words with Friends 2 again. So it's pretty fun. Make my brain work. And that's about it. You know, I like my stuff. I made an alt in Animal Crossing. Dan and I both did. So that we can pay off all of those houses and make, like, shopping centers in a house.
Nice. All right, my audio got out of sync a little bit. Sorry.
His character
my phone's
is named
crapping
Null.
Out on me.
Because he didn't name his character. It's named Null. But yeah, that's it.
All right, let me go to Loki. And there might be a quick... I'm actually going to just try to fix my Discord issues. But Loki, if you wouldn't mind talking about your gaming week here while I try to fix some stuff on my end.
Sure. So it was pretty much all Minecraft this week. So... there was the brand new Nether update that came out. That was out on Tuesday. So I've been checking out that and working on our realm and doing that kind of stuff. And then outside of that, I was also playing some Orna, of course. And then that's pretty much it. Watching my kids been playing Animal Crossing. They've been really my youngest son's been really getting into that, but it's been mainly just Minecraft for the most part.
All right. Well, if that's it for your gaming week, which I only heard half of, sorry, but I think I fixed my issues. I will talk about my gaming week. All right. Yeah, I've got issues. I has them. My gaming week. I've been playing a lot of the same stuff I usually do. My location games that I love. My Ingress, my Pokemon Go, my Orna. I've been playing all those games. But I've been playing stuff on console and PC as well, including Continued Adventures in Final Fantasy XIV. I almost have completed the Fate grind, which means the Fate is a world quest event, basically, that happens in a zone. And in the latest expansion, you can get a reward if you do, I think it's 70 Fates in every zone. And we're working on the last zone right now. So that's very exciting. I'm making progress on that. So a lot of the same old games, but I did play a new game this week. It just hit Game Pass not that long ago. So on Xbox One, I've been playing The Messenger, which is it's definitely inspired by Ninja Gaiden. from back in the day. It's very heavily inspired. And what I like about it is that it kind of winks and nods to the game that inspired it quite constantly. And I think that's really cool. It has that kind of retro look to it, but the game is, it's, you know, obviously widescreen, and the graphics do feel like a little bit amped up, even though it has that retro look. I love that it's very tongue in cheek. It doesn't have quite the same cinematic story that Ninja Gaiden had, but I think this story instead kind of like is a little more tongue-in-cheek and a little more silly and a little more self referencing, but I think that's kind of cool. And the gameplay is really fun. Like, it really kind of feels like you're playing, you know, the old Ninja Gaiden game. So, you know, right in the beginning, you can do like a double jump if you hit like a lantern that's in the air. So you jump, hit the lantern, you can jump again. And so that leads to kind of some interesting mechanics. And there's things that weren't in the game that inspired it. There's things like swimming, and there's this whole like death mechanic that you get your life back, but the little demon will take souls from you and things like that. So it's fun, it's cute, and the nice thing with Game Pass, it didn't cost me anything extra, so I've been able to check that out. So if you have Game Pass, I would recommend that for sure, because I think that has been a fun game. So that's been between that. Yeah, that's pretty much my gaming week. So all right, well, let's move on and get into some things that have been happening in the news. And this is a whopper starting us off tonight, Loki.
Yeah, it's something. So there was a surprise announcement that Microsoft made, I think on Twitter even. And it was that, hey, Mixer is shutting down as of July 22nd. And they are partnering with Facebook Gaming moving forward. So if you happen to be a partner status in Mixer, that'll transfer over to Facebook Gaming, assuming that you sign up over there. They're basically matching all existing partner agreements as closely as possible. Ew, for one.
Double so, ew.
Triple ew.
It's like,
I need a new graph. You know, while we've got new graphic and sound effects, I need one for that. Triple ew.
So, yeah, so that sucks for everybody that jumped in on Mixer and stuff. I mean, I know they were pimping the hell out of that. Even like when we used to go to GameStop months ago, they would have on their game or their little Microsoft kiosk, whatever, just be pimping out Mixer all the time. And now that's just, it's gone. So, unfortunate for a lot of folks that were dedicating themselves to that platform. Not sure if anyone's really going to jump ship to Facebook Gaming. Like, I don't know. That's tough. And I want to say, like, there's a few streamers that I watch on like YouTube and stuff, like one in particular, Ollie43, who I think tried the Facebook Gaming stuff. And I want to say that the issue there was either, it was hard to monetize the streams, or it was hard to discoverability was a problem, just the way it's set up. I don't know what their issues are over there, but ew, not gonna know. So I'm thinking a lot of folks will go back to Twitch probably, or YouTube streaming.
Like,
but yeah, that sucks. They had a lot of features that sounded really cool. I'm curious now, like, I know they had Mixer integration for like Minecraft and stuff, so now that's going to be broken. So I don't know.
I'm going to be very candid on something here and just say what I think many of us are thinking, and that is that Facebook Gaming fucking sucks. And it really does feel like a 1-2 punch in the face for Mixer to be folding into Facebook Gaming, because Facebook Gaming is so fucking terrible. And I am here to support all broadcasters and all indie people, and if you are a person that streams on Facebook Gaming, I'm sorry if what I'm saying right now feels offensive. My issues are not to the streamers there. My issues are with the platform. Facebook as a platform has no business getting into this gaming arena. And one of the biggest sticking points I have with Facebook Gaming, despite, in addition to the fact that the layout sucks for it, the discoverability sucks for it, the monetization sucks for it, the way that you try to find things and stuff you want to watch on it sucks for it. All those things aside, the thing that really ticks me off about Facebook Gaming is Facebook's real name policy. What did we just fucking talk about? What was the topic that was just under discussion on this program? And Facebook wants to mandate that everybody should use their real names? I don't fucking think so. Like, it just goes to show that Facebook has no fucking idea what they're getting into. And I understand Facebook has a lot of viewers. They had more viewers than Mixer because Facebook is a monopoly. There should be antitrust movements against Facebook because they have their hands in so many cookie jars. It's so easy for them to insert and inject the Facebook gaming stuff into your feed when I don't want it. Sorry, I know I'm ranty, but
I agree.
I really don't like Facebook getting into this space.
No, and I agree. Like I there's like nothing I would watch on there. Like I would not go there ever for any sort of content whatsoever, even if
I would not stream it on a train. I would not stream it on a plane. I would not watch it on the bus. I would not watch any of us. Like, I'm not getting on Facebook gaming. And you can clip it, save it as a receipt. I will quit broadcasting before I stream on Facebook gaming. Trust. I know you're not supposed to burn your bridges in this industry. I have no problem setting that one on fire. Sorry.
So far, of the big names that were on Mixer, some of the big names, Ninja and Shroud are moving back to Twitch. There is one, though, King Goth Lion or something. He is going to be moving to Facebook, but I don't know.
And to be clear, and since I've been kind of a bitch, my heart really does go out to the folks on Mixer that were impacted by this. And like, you know what? Not everybody necessarily knows this, but I'll be very transparent. When we were looking to relocate VOG Network off of Shoutcast and move to a video platform, Mixer was under heavy consideration. And one of the reasons why Mixer at the time was appealing was because it was like, oh, on Twitch, there's like a lot of noise. And on Mixer, what used to be Beam Pro at the time, there is the potential to maybe do something that is able to get found out a little easier through that noise, because there weren't a lot of podcasters. There was a few, but there weren't a lot of podcasters and folks that were doing their thing on Mixer at the time that that topic was under discussion. And I really liked the concept of the what were they called over there? The Sparks or something, like, as you watch to feed you, which Twitch ended up integrating a system that's very similar. But at the time, it was exclusive to Mixer, and I really liked that. And I kind of thought that went with the theme of participation and so forth. But what really ended up swaying the deal the other way was that it was too hard to become a Mixer partner. And at the end of the day, I think that was Mixer's biggest weakness versus Twitch. And I appreciate Mixer existing to give Twitch some real competition, because I'm sorry, Facebook gaming is not real competition. Steam, like, literally, did you know Steam has a whole broadcasting thing? And like, all it literally was this, we threw it out there, and now we're just letting the vultures eat it, because we're like, Steam literally is doing nothing to curate or grow that platform. It's like, right. We made this, and now let's not make Half-Life 3.
And I don't think you can monetize anything on there either. No. But so Mixer, they had an article in the Mixer blog that basically talked about why they kind of went this route. So they said, ultimately, the success of our partners and streamers on Mixer is dependent on our ability to scale the platform for them quickly and broadly as possible. It became clear that the time needed to grow our own live streaming community to scale was out of measure with the vision and experiences that Microsoft and Xbox wants to deliver to gamers now. So we decided to close operations.
We didn't want to do it anymore.
Yes. So, but here's the writing on the wall here. So it says, you know, we're teaming up with Facebook to enable Mixer community transition to Facebook gaming. This is a key part of our broader effort that Xbox and Facebook gaming are embarking on. So this leads me to believe that all these integrations that we have with Mixer and stuff are going to now be integrations with Facebook gaming. But I mean, that sucks, I guess, but at the same time, if it's not popular, they're not going to support it. So we'll see. Just don't use the platform and it'll go away.
Facebook gaming can kiss my fat fucking ass. And if the Xbox Series X is going to rely on Facebook integration and is going to, it is seriously going to potentially impact my decision to get an Xbox Series X. That is how much I want to separate myself from Facebook and especially not get into this gaming space.
I think it'll be optional, just like the integrations with like Mixer and stuff. And I think what will happen is if it isn't taking off like they thought it would, and I'm sure there's some money changing hands, you know, partnerships and whatnot. So there's going to be some of the integration. I'm sure that it's up to the developers on what they want to integrate with. A lot of them are going to be doing stuff with Twitch. I'm sure that just because maybe Microsoft Studio Games will decide to have some special integrations with Facebook Gaming, that that's not necessarily going to close the door and other titles to integrate with, like, say, Twitch or something else. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's just, it's not a huge deal. Like, I don't know. You may see like a Facebook Gaming app on the new Microsoft console, not to say that you won't see a Twitch app on there. I don't know. I don't see it being very popular.
Let me get a couple of chat comments that I think are worth responding to, because I think these are a couple of big, big points. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Ninja and Shroud brought a lot of streamers to Mixer, but not a lot of viewers. And I agree that was mistake number one. And I'm not, like, throwing shade at these big streamers who I know work very hard to get the audiences that they have, but the reality is they are not a magic ticket to making the platform larger. It would have been smarter for Mixer to address the question, why aren't more people streaming here in the first place? And I done just told you the answer is that it was too much harder to monetize on Mixer than it was versus Twitter. You could have had us, Mixer. Like,
well, and lots of streaming failures that they're already having.
So, like, but there were a lot of great things that Mixer kind of had. But if they had made it easier to get to that level of monetization and really feeling like you're a part of the community, I don't think they would have needed to throw Ninja or Shroud millions of dollars, because they would have attracted smaller and mid-level streamers, and that would have been huge, because then you get all that promotion on Twitter and all that other stuff. Now, Pele Hanomea in chat bringing up another excellent point is, Kindle, Roku, and my Samsung TV don't have Mixer app. Bingo. That was another big problem with it, is that Twitch is available pretty much everywhere at this point. Mixer was available on PC and on Xbox, which is, you know, cool if you're streaming, you know, Xbox related content and stuff. And it was really well integrated into Windows 10. But beyond that, it's a lot harder to get onto Mixer. And I think Mixer really, not that Mixer necessarily needed to be on PlayStation, but it needed to be more places. The Switch was a huge untapped thing. Sorry.
And here's a kick in the balls for Mixer anyway, is that the Twitch streaming app now has a beta out for Mac. So
yeah.
They're definitely embracing many more non-Microsoft arenas.
Yep.
So while they were growing in numbers, like Facebook Gaming, so I was looking at some numbers from 2019. So at December 2019, Facebook Gaming had 8.5% of the market share, whereas Twitch is 61%, YouTube Gaming 27.9%, and Mixer was 2.6%. Whereas the previous year, 2018, Mixer was 2%, and Facebook Gaming was only 3.1%. So it definitely, you know, they definitely are growing. Is that sustainable? I don't know. But I don't see them like dominating the marketplace. I see them as sticking around for a while until it's not making them money enough.
I see them as leeching it.
I will miss Mixer for the competition it was giving Twitch, the healthy competition, and I think it was forcing each other to innovate. Facebook is innovating nothing, so I don't see Twitch having to really respond in that regard. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I guess YouTube is now kind of the big competitor in that space with Twitch. It'll be interesting to see if maybe a Phoenix rises from the ashes and we get kind of like a Beam Pro 2.0 type of thing to compete. We'll see. I don't know. But my heart goes out to those that invested so much onto Mixer just to have the rug pulled out from under them. And I think it should make, I mean, between that and I don't think it's on the show roll tonight, but we have the news about like the Microsoft stores are going away basically, and that's all changing too. Like, I can understand why people are kind of cautious of Microsoft in the moment. And that's a real bummer because there's so much enthusiasm for what Microsoft's about to bring to the table through their cloud gaming and through the Series X and through the studios that they've purchased and so forth. So maybe Microsoft's sitting on a poker hand that they say, you know what, people are going to forget about these crappy things because this poker hand we're holding of all these things we're yet to announce is so good that we're cleaning things up before we kind of put our cards on the table, so to speak. But
or they think it is.
Or they think, yeah, they think it is. I mean, real people were affected by this, and it really stinks. And I just
feel. Do you
feel
think businesses really care that real people are
affected?
Oh,
of course they don't. Of course they don't.
No,
but I think
no, they don't.
That's a wake up call to every streamer, and no matter where you're broadcasting. That's it. End of sentence. That's the tweet. It should be a wake up call for everybody. The platform at the end of the day will sell you to Facebook if that's what they feel like they need to do to make the most money for their investors or the people that make the money off it. So.
And isn't Twitch now doing like a welcome back kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, Twitch is seeing the opportunity in it, and they have to be snickering in some type of way that even though Mixer is like, you can do all of this and seamlessly integrate to Facebook gaming, there are so many people that are like, you know what, I'd rather just go back to Twitch, even though I maybe burn my bridges over there. I'd still rather do that than Facebook gaming, which I'm thriving on that. It gives me such energy.
But who blames them?
Yeah. So... anyway,
well, good deal for like the folks that did take the money for Mixer because now they're out of their contracts and they still get paid and then they still get to go back to these platforms where they probably still have a lot of followers and stuff.
Well, and what a stupid decision then that all ended up being, wasn't it? I hope some people are answering for that right now. So for all the credit I've given Phil Spencer over the years, and I think he has driven Microsoft in a much better, or Xbox specifically, obviously, in a better direction and so forth, this is quite the blemish. So that's all I have to say on that. All right.
Just wait. We're only like months away from hearing Google announce that they're getting rid of Stadia too. And
so. All right, moving on.
Do we really think that's going to happen though?
Oh yeah, it will definitely happen.
Are they gonna
that'll be one of those things we put in the time capsule for 2021.
Did we even do a time capsule?
Yes,
I don't
we
think.
Did
we? I thought we didn't. Anyway.
I don't think I did.
Oh well.
I
Let
have
me move
no
on.
Predictions. I have a bleak future.
Honestly, could anyone have predicted the way this year would go? Maybe it's for the best we don't have anything in there.
Yeah, what
this
happened
year?
To the murder hornets? You know, now we have meth alligators. What happened to the murder hornets?
They're on hold.
I like how SSJ100 Matt says, "Ugh, don't joke, Loki. It's 2020. Yeah, speaking of it's 2020, I saw a trailer today for a new movie called Greenland talking about like an asteroid hitting Earth. I'm like, now's not the time for those types of movies. Really? Like, now's not the time to... an Earth disaster movie.
Sorry, I got sidetracked with something IRL. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying that there's this movie Greenland coming out that's like your typical Roland Emmerich disaster flick or whatever about asteroids hitting the Earth and destroying everything. I was like, no.
Meh.
No.
No, yeah.
Although, you want to know what is crazy is that I've been watching a lot more horror flicks lately.
Not
like
me.
The psychological ones is like I've watched The Witch, I watched Hereditary, I watched Midsommar, which I fucking love that movie. I watched A Girl Walks Alone at Night, which is a really good movie too. Just like I even rewatched like The House Where Evil Dwells, which I actually like that movie too. It's just like the scary stuff is preferable to reality. I would rather deal with Japanese murder ghosts than this bullshit we're living in right now.
Phoenix7726 in chat says the murder hornets saw the current situation and felt pity on us. LOL. SG100Matt says, yeah, we don't need a disaster movie right now. Hype Mayhem says, my July 2020 prediction, Oblivion gates open up everywhere. Yeah. So it's been a
we
year.
We are living in a disaster movie.
It's been a year.
I mean, you know it's bad when the rest of the world is quarantining against us.
Or if Halloween gets canceled, y'all. If Halloween gets canceled, I know. Don't.
I guess I'll just have to buy candy at the store.
Let me sit on this one tiny little glimmer, however hopeless of hope that I have that maybe there can be a Halloween. Anyhow, All right. Moving on. Let's talk about Crash Bandicoot. I guess that's exciting. At least 2020 will give us that. Finally, a new Crash Bandicoot.
Speaking of disasters.
No, this looks really cool, actually. Now, we already talked about this a little bit on last week's show because it spilled early, but we got more details on Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. It was confirmed earlier this week by Activision, being developed by Toys for Bob. It is sporting a new kind of, or kind of like the more HD remake Crash style there. But otherwise, the classic behind the back, kind of over the shoulder platforming that is going to be in the game. Crash is in it, Coco, Cortex, all that stuff. Cortex has been banished to the past, and he's now planning Crash's doom. So I like that they're doing this tongue-in-cheek thing there with this whole it's about time when it's taken so long for there to be a new Crash game. It's kind of like they're doing a play on words, and it's super cute. They also in the trailer say they've only beaten Cortex 3 times, although they could swear that they were more. And so they just kind of ignored all the other Crash games that happened outside the first 3. So this is a true Crash 4 games. So now no games made by like Traveler's Tale or Radical Entertainment or that stuff count anymore. Anyhow, Crash 4 will be coming out October 2nd for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Nothing on the Switch as of yet, although I'm pretty sure Activision was asked about that. And they said something like, you know, if the people want it or if the demand is there, but your typical non-answer, meaning it's not being made now, but maybe later type of thing.
Yada, yada, yada.
Exactly that. Dark Sakura, what's next?
Well, I'm not super surprised by this at all because I kind of felt it was going to happen the moment Nintendo said they were going to do some mobile games. And yes, Pocket Camp was fun for a hot minute. But Nintendo is moving away from mobile gaming. They had a really, really disappointing result. And they basically just ended it all together. President Furukawa Shuntaro was, he was all down for it. He's like, it's going to be a big business. It's going to have growth. And now, no. So he basically said, we are not necessarily looking to continue releasing many new applications for the mobile market. And I mean, look at it right now, though. They've made so much with Animal Crossing. They have so many other really good games. They have like Super Mario Run just like shot down the shitter, you know. And on top of that, now after he said that statement, Nintendo share did fall about 4%. But the writing was on the wall. This was going to happen. And actually, as for right now, the only things that I see for Nintendo that's making money is still Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Dragalia Lost, that's way gone down. Super Mario Run has gone down. Fire Emblem Heroes has gone way down. And yeah, Animal Crossing is still doing pretty good.
It's kind of, those rankings are kind of sad because I actually feel like Dragalia Lost, you know, when Nintendo kind of does something new as opposed to Animal Crossing is a little bit different. I think Animal Crossing kind of works as the type of game it is, but like it wasn't working when they were trying to turn platformers like Super Mario Brothers, like Dr. Mario. Yes, more of a puzzle game, but still kind of action oriented, like Mario Kart. When they try to turn those games to mobile, they just don't work. But the other types of games and the new stuff, like I actually think Dragalia Lost is probably one of the stronger titles they put out. And the nice thing about it is it's not tied to any other Nintendo product. And I kind of think that's the direction Nintendo should have thought about staying in. But
You know, the only thing that's really, I think, helped with the Pocket Camp, to be honest, is people who have forgot to cancel their subscriptions to, like, the Leaf Ticket service and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I almost forgot to do it. But, you know, once I got my goodies from Pocket Camp, I was like, okay, I'm kind of done with this. It's not really that fun. You know, you can't really, you don't have the same customization. On top of that, I think that they've got really big competition in the form of Fortnite. Honor of Kings is way making money in comparison to what the, you know, Nintendo titles are doing as far as the mobile competition. And they are, honestly, I think it's wise. I think it's a good thing for them that they're not really pulling a whole lot out of it. They should keep, you know, support for what they have on there now. You know what I think that would make them money is if they did a specifically mobile Ace Attorney game.
That would be fun.
That would bring them the moolah.
I also feel like, I was just going to say, I feel like Nintendo is almost strongest when other people are allowed to develop their IPs on mobile. And obviously what's coming to my mind is Pokemon Go. And I realize a little different because Pokemon is the Pokemon company, but it's still kind of all wraps up to Nintendo. And I still kind of feel like that's the strongest title. And that was like somebody else's new idea type of thing. And I think that's like by far the strongest title that's out there that involves a Nintendo product. But granted, I know Pokemon is like not really Nintendo, but it is, you know.
I mean, I never played that Fire Emblem Heroes, but what if they did like a Fire Emblem thing kind of like Orna?
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, who knows what else Niantic is working on for the future? There might be other Nintendo related stuff in development. Who knows? We know
Nintendo needs to harvest their partnerships.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll see what doesn't develop from Nintendo on the mobile front, or maybe if they do end up kind of letting go and letting some other people develop for that, or if they're just like, maybe not.
Or I would take an old school Final Fantasy style Orna game. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
A Square game that's out for Apple Arcade. So it's not very good. I don't think it is. But I'm just saying, you know, it wouldn't be too hard, but it seems that some of those other companies are looking more to partner with, you know, the arcade service.
All right. Well, Loki, you have a pretty logical follow-up for this, right?
Yeah, so there was a little trailer for a brand new summer update coming to Animal Crossing New Horizons. And so with this, there's going to be some cool stuff, including diving into the sea and swimming. So now you can actually go in there and look for treasure and furniture and also new fish and aquatic wildlife that you can then donate to your museum or sell. And then along with that, the return of Pascal and Gulliver. So
Gulliver's
that's pretty cool.
Already back, but I think we're getting Pirate Gulliver.
Yes, Pirate Gulliver. And you'll be able to trade it for mermaid furniture.
Well, hey,
I'm excited about Pascal because I ordered a Pascal card and then I actually can use him in the photo thing.
Yeah. Yes. I'm excited.
Oh, sorry, Pascal is who you trade for the furniture. Yeah.
I'm excited to get more content for Animal Crossing because I feel a little like, okay, I'm a little worn out on what's there. Although I forgot to mention during my gaming week, the bug off happened on Saturday. That was cute. Like that wasn't just a nice little diversion. My birthday happened.
Did you get your gold?
No, I didn't play enough.
I didn't even get
the bronze. What
just
is that?
Saying.
Oh, your town?
In my town.
She's showing it on a stream for those that are on the podcast. Yeah. But one thing I was going to say with Animal Crossing. So you may or may not know I had a birthday this past week as well because my birthday is only a few days after OLR. So
happy.
Thank you. I got to do my birthday in Animal Crossing and that was really cute because it's a whole little like sequence where it's kind of like, right when you start and you like appear outside your house, your best friend in the town, who I assume because Ketchup showed up for me and I love her. So she showed up and she's like, come with me. Don't ask questions. And then suddenly I'm in Ketchup's house. And then who I believe are my next two best friends on the island, Poncho and Rocket, because they were my two starters. So I've talked to them every day. So I'm pretty sure they're my closest friends next to Ketchup, who I've also been showering in gifts. They all showed up for my party and it was really cute. And then they gave me cupcakes and you go give everybody on the island a cupcake and they give you something party themed in return. So you get like a party floor and a party wall and all this other stuff. It's cute.
That's why I didn't get any of that stuff because I kept my cupcakes.
Oops. Oh, you're supposed to trade them to the villagers and they give you
I
party stuff.
I wonder if I do it afterwards. It's like, here's a cupcake. I want a thing.
Here's a moldy cupcake.
I don't want this. This is super old.
You know what's funny is that I got kidnapped by Agnes, who I didn't realize she was my bestie, but she kind of is like the kind of person I would hang out with. She's one of the Uchi characters, the big sister kind.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, okay, Agnes, you're cool. But, I guess, you know, I had my whole birthday party on Animal Crossing with everybody.
Yeah, well, you were right when the game came out, too. So it was kind of, you were one of the first to get a birthday in Animal Crossing. So
a few weeks after, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Also, my least favorite villager left this week, so that was exciting. So now I have, I can't remember.
That?
Nana, she's gone. And I can't remember the name of who I got as a replacement, but he's a smug type. He's a large bear that is like a Greek god type.
Oh, and, I know who that is.
Yeah, I can't remember his name in the moment. Klaus. Yeah. It's Klaus.
Klaus. Yeah. The one I called the German bear.
Yeah. So
the,
I got
the Roman German bear.
When I went to the Nook Island, and so I knew I was hunting for a smug villager because it was the one type I didn't have. So when I went Nook, I saw like this bear is gigantic. I could see him from like when I started the island. I was like, dang, this bear is big. So yeah, that's why I took into the town. And then I laughed because he has like a whole like Greek god theme going with him.
Do you want me to drop off my binder of Animal Crossing cards next time you need a new villager?
Yeah, actually, yes. Because I am going to let Alan really wants Gigi.
Who... I have the Gigi card.
Okay, well then maybe we can just do it that way. I'll
lend you Gigi.
I have Gigi and Naomi who are the same type, and I kind of prefer Naomi. So
yeah, I think anyway. I have Naomi too.
All right, it's turning into an Animal Crossing podcast. I'm sorry.
We should do one anyway. It doesn't matter.
I know we've got to get to your classic game though, because I know you got to go soon. I will say, Animal Crossing. Even though I keep talking about it, I do appreciate that there's new stuff coming to kind of motivate me to keep going with it. And this is coming at a very good time, I think. So, all right. Moving on, let's talk quickly about the Smash Brothers Direct that happened this week. So we knew that we were going to be getting a character from ARMS, and so we did get announced the character from ARMS will be Min Min, will be coming over from ARMS. And so unfortunately, a lot of people were hoping for Twintel, who I guess Shane messaged me and said I called Twintel Twintania, which is a Final Fantasy XIV boss on the last show, and nobody bothered to correct me. I've been playing too much of 14. Anyway, Twintel, it seemed to be a popular choice on Twitter. But it did end up being Min Min, who I think a lot of people... I think people are kind of like, okay. It's kind of like the reaction I'm kind of feeling out there. It's Min Min. Okay. That is the new character that's coming to Smash, and they, you know, detailed how it's all going to work and kind of the springs and all that type of stuff. Now, what else was announced during, I mean, we knew we were getting an ARMS character, but what about some of the stuff we didn't know about? So there were actually some new Mii fighter costumes that were unveiled, and one of them is the Fallout Boy, like, or not like the band Fallout Boy, but like the little Pip Boy from Fallout, which is weird because I'm like, is there even a Fallout game on Switch? Maybe Fallout Shelter's on Switch. That's all I can think of. So there's that. I think that's kind of interesting. And then you can get some of the Splatoon characters as well, which I think is really cute. And there's some other stuff too. 75 cents each for those are Mii Fighter costumes. So it's not like an actual character, but you can make your Mii Fighter look like one. And there's more amiibo coming, including Persona 5's Joker, and that amiibo looks awesome, actually. That's coming this fall, and they're also going to be doing the hero from the Dragon Quest series, who was also added to the game previously. Both those figures coming out this fall. So yes, amiibo is still a thing, if you are wondering. So that was a fun direct. I must admit, I didn't watch it live. I just checked out the Cliff Notes after the fact, because I don't play Smash quite as frequently as I think other people I know, but yeah, I'm excited to I think some of the Mii characters they're doing are really cute, and I love that this game is still going all this time after it released. Poor Sakurai probably needs a fucking nap, but good for him working so hard on this game and everything. So cool. All right, moving on. Dar Sakura, you're muted, I think.
I'm still muted, yeah.
No
worries.
Sorry.
Sorry about it. To move on to Canada, we don't give Canada enough love, do we? Love you, Canada. You were right to close your borders. There is the Entertainment Software Association of Canada.
Quick aside, just fact though, I was supposed to be in Toronto this weekend. There wasn't even supposed to be a show today. I was supposed to be in Toronto for Pride this year. That was the original plan. So frown. Anyway, sorry, Jamie, but that was important.
Girl. Okay. Anyway, What they do is they support the growth of Canada's video game industry. So they do research, advocacy, and promote awareness of issues that affect video gaming and the development thereof. And they also work in talent development and technology skills. And so what they've done, they are hosting the Canadian Student Video Game Competition. So they're inviting post-secondary students from across the country to participate, to show their skills and show excellence in three categories: originality / creativity, artistic expression, and technical proficiency. So they are doing it in the form of video games. They want to really promote and cultivate new blood in the industry. So their winning team has a cash award of $6,000 Canadian to be put toward new equipment to continue in their education and training. So it's now in their sixth year. They've received 20 submissions this year. And like last year, winner, and I'm looking at university, was from the School of Digital Arts, Animation and Design at the University of Quebec. And then another one from, it looks like their the University of Quebec Mathematic Information team, and they built a game called Cold Sun. I'm sure we've seen this around, haven't you? I've been seeing ads for Cold Sun. And then the second place was a game called Wormwood from Sheridan College. And third place was The Last Frame from, I think it's also University of Quebec at Chicoutimi, I think is how it's pronounced. But yeah, Cold Sun is this third-party stealth game, post-apocalyptic, that basically you have to scavenge for resources by using garbage. And then Wormwood is a hack and slash, and Last Frame is a cooperative puzzle game. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of it this year. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, hooray for the future of game developers.
Yay, Canada.
All right. Yay, Canada. All right. To which we actually have a chatter in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork named I Am Canadian 47, who just responded with clap emojis. So there you go. Shout out to Canada. I Am Canadian 47 also says Pride up here was virtual, so it was quieter. Yeah, they've been doing they did like a big virtual Pride on Amazon, I think, or something. It's not quite the same. I don't know. It's just. Yeah. I mean, I don't like to go to the one in San Francisco anymore because San Francisco is so packed in. Like, something weird started happening in my 30s and now my 40s where, like, I suddenly have claustrophobia in certain situations. And San Francisco Pride, like, gets that going. Whereas when I was in Chicago, it was fine, but that's because it's so, like, the route is gigantic and there's so much space. I didn't feel like it's packed in when I was there. And I was looking forward to Toronto this year, but we'll just have to make it happen in a future year.
For me, San Francisco Pride, I much prefer it to the garbage that was Sacramento Pride, because it was garbage. It was really bad, super hot, overcrowded, not enough water, not enough emergency people, where San Francisco's has been run pretty well, as long as at least I've gone to it. And of course, I also have the advantage of marching in it with the sisters.
I remember the Rainbow Festival here, which is Labor Day weekend. Now, granted, I haven't been.
Festival is fun.
I haven't been in like 8 years because of Dragon Con. But with the Rainbow Festival, I always say that was something the bars downtown just kind of did on their own. That's a better time of year. It's not as hot Labor Day weekend.
Well, so. And honestly, though, this past one, I don't know. It seemed pretty tame. The most exciting place that I went to was probably what was supposed to be their, you know, their answer to Dory Alley, you know, the leather place.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a good time, but it was pretty quiet. I think I went in face, come to think of it, or maybe I didn't. Anyway, right. Yeah, it was still fun.
Let's move on for time. So, Loki, what do you have next for us?
All right, so let's talk about more Pokemon announcements. So we've got this brand new game announced by the Pokemon Company called Pokemon Unite. It's a team-based mobile battle arena game that's created with the company Tencent, and it's free to play on the Switch and as well as mobile. And I guess it's 5-on-5 team-based MOBA. So no word on when it's supposed to be coming out, but it looks interesting. I'm not really one to play MOBAs, so it's not something that appeals to me, but I know there are a lot of people that like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I, I, I've enjoyed some of the MOBAs I've played. Like, I just, there's a lot of toxic people that play them, and so it usually scares me off from them. Probably my best experience was in Heroes of the Storm, because when you play versus AI, it's a lot less toxic there, because all the edgelords are playing more of the PvP stuff. So that was probably my best experience, was playing Heroes of the Storm. So I know a lot of people were upset about this Pokemon news, because I think some people set the bar way too high. Like, they were expecting Pokemon Let's Go for the Sinnoh regions, which, you know, when they've got DLC still happening for the main game, is not going to happen anyway. Or yeah, they were expecting, I don't know, like Gen 4 remakes or something. But it's like, you just got new Pokemon Snap announced. Like, it's not going to exceed that. Some people are disappointed. But I welcome it. I don't think it's the worst thing they could have announced.
I think
it could be interesting. Yeah,
it's different, and being willing to see what it's like. You know, there was that other Pokemon game that they had that was all kind of cubish, that was okay. I don't know. It's nice that they're experimenting with the franchise.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to say, during my gaming week, I played that Pokemon Cafe came out, and I played a little bit of that. It's super cute. Like, the art style's great, and it's kind of a cute way to look at Pokemon. And at first I was kind of, oh, it is kind of Tsum Tsum, but it's kind of like a puzzler. Like, you only have so many swipes to clear the board, and it starts to turn into freemium trash real quick. Sorry, but there's a really cute art style there that maybe could be developed into other games. Or I just wish there was a nonstop mode like Tsum Tsum has. Like, I don't know why it needed to be strictly a puzzler. Probably that's how they plan to make money. But maybe when this game kind of fizzles out because it's not very good, they'll look at different ways to innovate it. And maybe I'll get the endless mode I'm looking for.
Because it's not very good.
Well, I'm in a mood tonight. I'm not making friends tonight, sadly.
She is prickly. Prickly, prickly.
I am. I'm a little bit of a cactus tonight. Happy Pride. All right. All right. Let's move on. And I think this one's my story. And this is about some anime that's going to be happening. So there was a Cyberpunk reveal that happened this week as well. So they were explaining more about that game. And as part of it, there's going to be a collaboration between Studio Trigger and CD Projekt Red. And for Netflix in 2022, a new anime series called Cyberpunk Edgerunners will be coming out. And if that didn't have your attention, what if I told you that Akira Yamaoka is doing the music for it? That's pretty cool. Yeah, right? So I think that's pretty cool. So the screenplay is being handled by Yoshiki Usa and Masahiko Otsuka. And so I think this is going to kind of expand the world of cyberpunk. And these anime series on Netflix based on video games have done pretty well. I guess some people could kind of give or take the Ingress one, but I guess Castlevania was pretty good. And isn't there one other?
The Ingress one.
Isn't there another?
Yeah, like, well, there's plenty of them, but the Ingress one is kind of plagued by the same problem that Ingress has, which is the storyline's really convoluted and confusing, and the anime
Who plays that game for the story? Give me a break.
Exactly, but it's just like...
Bayonetta anime was really good.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know.
And I'm sorry, they should have released this in the US, but the Animal Crossing anime was really cute and really sweet.
Maybe they will.
Also announced for anime adaptation in the worlds of video games, this is pretty cool, The World Ends With You is going to be getting an anime adaptation. Remember that game? It was just recently re-released on Switch not that long ago. Anime Expo Lite will be getting more details on that. Obviously, the real Anime Expo not happening because of COVID, so they're doing the online deal. So just think, this, you would have got to see this in person maybe if COVID hadn't happened, but it did. So Anime Expo Light on Friday, July 3rd, 6 p.m. Pacific, and then Saturday, July 4th, 10 a.m. Oh, I'm sorry, that's time zone conversion for Japan. So more information, you can check out their website is, Subarashiki-anime.jp, and that's The World Ends With You anime. And I'm sure our pals over at Anime Jam Session Tuesday nights, hosted here at VOG Network, I'm sure they will have plenty more to say on these stories, so check them out Tuesday night. All right, meanwhile, it's time to get to the classic game of the week. And Dark Soccer, are you ready for this? I have something very special. So it's time for the classic game of the week.
What's up?
And the return of the cute little music that plays in the background.
Yay!
Which we haven't had for a long time. and a little video flourish for our pals over on Twitch. So anyway, every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault, and she's trying to find a game that, hey, you brats should check out this game. Respect this game. But once a month, Dark Sakura says, you know what, I'm going to mix it up and pick a pinball game. We're finally getting to June. So there was a lot of other stuff that needed attention this month. So we're getting to June's pinball pick at the end of the month, but that's okay. So Dark Sakura, what did you pick for the classic pinball of the month?
I picked The Shadow. Terrible movie. Really cool game. It was designed by Brian Eddy. The software was done by Mike Boone. Artwork by Doug Watson. It's really an interesting table. Hold on just a second, because I'm trying to actually get the layout of The Shadow so I can describe a little bit more.
We do see some video footage of it. Sadly, I wasn't able to get around to get any of the music. I couldn't find a clean copy, but we do have the video playing for our Twitch friends.
So one of the very interesting things about it to me is that if you're looking at that, there is on the upper left-hand side a mini little playfield that has this kind of paddly game on it. It's just really cool. And that's one of, I think, for me, I'd kind of call it the gimmick of the game, but overall, it's a really fun one to play. I'm no good at it. I'm just going to tell you this right now. I don't play it that often. And I think we loaned ours out right now. But yeah, it's called the Battlefield, is that whole section up there. And it's got some fun ramp action, you know, and even the theming of it. If it wasn't The Shadow, just having that whole Art Deco look to it just really is quite attractive. So it's a really, really pretty looking one. Questbuster also points out that the soundtrack by Goldsmith was great. And actually, yeah, it was. I saw this in the theater. But as far as other things about it, you've got all these different scenes. You have Punish the Guilty, the Farley Claymore, Duel of Wills, which is a video mode, Beryllium Sphere, Escape Underwater Doom, and Discover Hotel Monolith. You have the Battlefield, like I was just mentioning. You have Shadow Multiball and Khan Multiball. And it actually had Tim Curry in it, Rob.
Yes.
Some of the actors recorded new speech for the game. So you had Penelope Ann Miller, John Lone, and Tim Curry. The character for The Shadow was actually voiced by one of the Williams Midway voice actors, Tim Kitzrow. It's kind of funny because like that whole Battlefield thing is kind of, you know, Arkanoid breakout-y sort of thing. But at any rate, they produced 4,247 units. It was released November 1994, so right after I graduated high school. It had the usual, cheeseball catchphrases for marketing, like, where the shadow falls, earnings rise. And no one can resist the power of the shadow. And then the shadow has the power to cloud men's minds, but the shadow pinball has the power to seize players' imaginations. Yay! Whatever. You can get ROMs of it for Pin Mame. There's, of course, you can still kind of get some of the stuff for it. It's really, really fun. There's, I think, a couple of mods for it. I'm not really familiar because I don't think we've really done anything like that. I'm trying to see like what the last one, I don't remember what we paid for ours, but it's one of the, from what I understand, I don't think you have to pay too much for it, like $2,000 maybe for a really good one. But yeah, it's a fun one. Like I said, terrible movie, excellent machine. I recommend it.
All right.
We have one ourselves. Although, like I said, we loaned it out. One of Dan's buddies was streaming it not too long ago, and that was our table.
Sometimes bad movies become okay games or even better pinball tables. It can happen sometimes. So
it's pretty cool. Indeed. But, I think my favorite thing about it is just that whole, pseudo Art Deco style. I just think it's really, really cool looking.
All right.
That movie definitely had good style, even if poor execution.
There it is, your classic pinball table of the month, The Shadow. Good pick.
Yep.
All right.
Happy to ha- happy to be of service. And yeah, now I am like way, not way past where I need to be, but
all right.
Yeah.
So
work,
sadly,
blah, blah, blah.
Yep. Sadly, I think we have to say goodnight to Dark Sakura. But any, thanks for being here as always. Happy 18th. And any parting words for
we
our listeners tonight?
Vote and
I
own
know.
Land.
Right?
Yeah.
And go to adult jail.
Well, I don't know. But I'm really flattered that everyone liked like the theme and likes the artwork. And there will be other versions of the artwork, Rob, like we discussed. So you'll see more come of it. And, you know, I kind of gave everyone – we gave them a bit of a preview because our little icons on Discord.
Yeah.
For our video. That's part of it. And the ferret's in there. So
you did, you
and
put-
I have –
You know, when I showed Alan, you know, speaking of like all the little in-jokes, which I hope you guys have fun looking at the different in-jokes. But when I showed Alan, do you know what he said?
What?
He said, where's President Cat?
I couldn't get one in there the way I wanted to.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah,
I
aimed for it.
I don't want to like when you do such great art, I don't want to be like, but what about this one thing you forgot? No, it's still great. But yeah, it was just funny.
Specifically for Loki, did you notice what it was?
I don't know if Loki's what? Seen like the final version, really.
I saw it briefly when it was on the screen, but yeah. I wasn't paying too
I had close. Tingle holding broccoli.
Yeah. There's oh. Tingle's holding broccoli. It's cute.
So
yeah.
We have the reference to the broccoli farm.
And there's like plugs for two YYR games in there. So. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, if someone would message me the two YYR plugs, which should be fairly fucking easy.
Yeah.
Maybe I will give you your own special version of the artwork.
Oh, fun. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Dark Sakura. We'll see you next time here on OLR.
And okay. By the way, everyone look up at my camera.
Okay, but the folks on podcast.
I'm going to announce it.
Okay.
Wear your mask.
All right. Okay, yes.
Wear your mask.
Hold on. Happy
Social
Pride.
Distance. Yeah. And happy Pride.
Oh, I don't know. I don't. I'm going to be muffled now because I'm wearing a mask, and I don't know if Jamie can see it. But Azette gave me
Hold
these
on.
Wonderful rainbow glitter masks.
I see it. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
So I'm Katana and Melina's gay brother right now.
I just have plain black ones, but
You're,
I ordered.
Does that make you Kalina?
Was it
Kalina?
They were doing some promotion on Twitter, and I think Gearbox was for Borderlands, where they were offering a Psycho face mask. So I got a set of those.
Nice.
I did get two masks when my friend Nikki came back from Thailand. One of them is red with cats all over it, and then another one is a Doraemon one, but it's upside down. So, eh. But one of my sister friends is making me masks out of fabric that I have had forever, so I'll show you those when I get them.
I think we have two of the rainbow masks, and I think Alan just went to the store. I know he went to the store because that was what was the side conversation that distracted me earlier. And I think he wore his rainbow mask out. So I think he's just daring one of our bitch neighbors to say something on Pride weekend about his rainbow glitter mask.
I'm
store.
Still tempted
so we'll see.
to put out a Pride flag for the 4th or a Black Lives Matter flag. I'd have to get it past the hubby.
Or get the modern Pride flag with the chevron. They call that the little.
I want to.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't want to put a flag out. So just saying.
All right, we're gonna move on with
bye.
The show. Bye, Dark Sakura. Thanks
bye,
for
bye,
being
bye,
here
bye.
As always. Okay.
Love y'all. Bye.
Let's talk about some rapid fire news. We're gonna go to Loki for some rapid fire news.
You know, I'm very disappointed with my social media following that I was not made aware of this until several days after the official announcement. So just to let everybody else know that's not in the know, Earth Defense Force 6 was announced coming 2021. Now, that was just a teaser bit that was at the end of the actual announcement trailer for a different game, which is a little odd, but it was called Earth Defense Force World Brothers. And it is a kind of a voxel-y looking Earth Defense Force game that's going to be out on the Switch and on PlayStation 4. It looks like a mashup between, you know, like Minecraft and Earth Defense Force. So I'm not sure what you'd do as far as like being able to build anything in the game, but neat, and I will definitely play it because it is something that appeals to both games that I love dearly. So yeah, so those will be coming soon. And then for July's Xbox Live Games with Gold, we're going to be getting WRC 8 FIA World Rally Championship and Dunk Lords. Those are both on Xbox One. Then your Xbox 360.
I'm sorry. Was that game called Dunk Lords?
Dunk Lords, yes.
Is that like Dunkaroos? Is that basketball?
It's like a basketball type game.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, it's basketball. Okay.
Yeah, so it is pretty cool. And then
you don't just dunk, you dunk lords. Forget it. Doesn't have the same rhythm.
Of course, one of my favorite Xbox 360 games, Saints Row 2. Oh. And then also a game called Juju that's going to be out later in the month.
Oh, Juju B should totally win All-Stars 5. What? Okay, all right. Moving on. All right, I have some rapid-fire news as well. Let's talk about a sequel for Bloodstained Curse of the Moon. Please note, this is not the main Bloodstained game. I mean, I would think that game's probably going to get a sequel at some point, but they haven't confirmed anything with that. However, that 8-bit retro kind of thing that preceded
it. Yeah, that one's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was Curse of the Moon. There is going to be a Curse of the Moon 2. So that's pretty cool. So you will play as Zangetsu, who is the swordsman who I believe you meet in the story of the original. So if you've played the actual Bloodstained game, you've already seen Zangetsu. But there's a whole new cast of characters in the game that are end up in the playable roster and so forth. No date yet on that, but we do know it's Steam, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Switch. So pretty much everywhere. So check that out. That is the sequel to Curse of the Moon. And which I think this is really funny. There's a new game coming out called Shakedown Hawaii, which is kind of a 16-bit retro action game. And this game is so retro. How retro is it? It's coming out for the Wii and the Wii U. No, that's not a typo. It's coming out for the Wii and the Wii U.
It's a port. It's out on all the other platforms right now. And the guy that made this one before, he did... trying to think what the other one was called. He's done several retro Grand Theft Auto type games. The first one he did was kind of an NES based one. This one's SNES. Great game actually, but it's cool to see that he's supporting those other systems because he'd actually done that before too. I think with even the PSP last time he put out a game as well. So cool. There's not a lot. Well, actually, I wouldn't say there's not a lot of games coming out on the Wii, but we had an announcement of another Wii game not too long ago either. So
what the reality is, there's still millions of those machines out there and they still work, so why not? Now this is very much a collector's thing, and I think they even said it's going to be limited to 3,000 copies for this Wii version, so it's not something he's looking to mass produce. This is very much a niche collector's type of thing that he's doing. And that's what it's for. It's going to be $30 too, which is more of a collector's price for a game like that. But I'm sure there will be people that will be all about it. So why not? I think it's neat.
It's a good game. I have it on Epic Game Store and it's pretty awesome.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's move on and let's get into some world release dates and check out some other games that are coming out this week. Maybe on the more modern systems, Loki.
Yes, so we've got a game called Brigadine, The Legend of Runeteria, and that's coming out on Nintendo Switch. Color Cross Malice, that's on Nintendo Switch. We have a Death Come True, Nintendo Switch, iOS, and Android. Mr. Driller Drill Land on PC and Nintendo Switch. Blaster Master Zero and Blaster Master Zero 2, both coming to PlayStation 4. The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 3 on Nintendo Switch. Little Town Hero on PC. Trackmania on PC, which I'm assuming is the brand new version, not the older Trackmania game. And last but not least, coming to PlayStation VR, Marvel's Iron Man VR. My son will be overly joyed with that.
All right, well, traveling to Japan and checking out the release dates over there, we have a few things on the Nintendo Switch this week, including Catherine Full Body for Nintendo Switch is out this week on the 2nd, and probably one of the best game title names you'll ever have on the Switch, we have Woof Meow Animal Hospital, an important an important job to help pets. It is an important job to help pets. But I just love that name. It's Woof Meow Animal Hospital.
The sounds that they make.
What do we call the animal hospital in our game? Quick, somebody give us a name to call this. Oh, Woof Meow. Oh, thank you. Yes, Mr. Smoosh. It's Woof Meow. Now Woof. Anyway, actually, the cover looks really cute. I got to say this. The game looks adorable. Like, I doubt it's getting a regional release here in the U.S., but, like, in Japan, if you had, like, kids that wanted to be, like, a veterinarian when they grow up or something, this would be, like, the perfect game for them. It looks really cute. Like, you're actually, like, checking the temperature on the dog and giving a little bit of medicine and inspecting the cat's eyes and doing all sorts of things. It looks really cute. So with as much, like, kind of crap I'm giving the game, I think it actually looks cute. On the PlayStation 4, a little quieter this week. I guess nobody wanted to compete with Woof Meow, but you do have Marvel's Iron Man VR is also out in Japan. I think that's like a worldwide release when that game hits. How about the UK, Loki?
In the UK, we've got Down the Rabbit Hole on PlayStation 4, Gun Club VR on PlayStation 4, I'm assuming PlayStation VR, Big Pharma Special Edition on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch.
No, fuck Big Pharma. Evil
it's
bastards.
Special Edition.
All right.
The Wonderful 101 Remastered on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. Iron Man VR as well on PlayStation VR. Azure Striker Gunvolt Striker Pack on PlayStation 4. And that's it.
Sorry, just the whole Big Pharma. Like, you know how we do those little parody intros on Twitch that inspired from You Can't Do That on Television? I think we had one like a year ago that was Wizards Unite Against Big Pharma. And it was a picture of that guy, that fucking asshole guy that bought the company and then jacked up the meds. That's all I can think of when you say Big Pharma.
It's funny that you say that because here's the summary of the title. What if you have the power to rid the world of disease, to improve the lives of millions, to ease suffering and cure the sick, and earn a tidy profit? So that's basically
wow!
It's what you do.
I don't know how I feel about this game. It sounds... Wow. All right. Anyway, wow. So combine that with Woof Meow Animal Hospital, and you've got some worldwide drug treatment this week. All right, anyway, let's move on, and we're going to get to the mailbag. Every week, you guys email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of our favorite emails here on the show. And we actually have a few of them to get through here, so let me make sure I get to them all. And we're going to start tonight with our first email from YYR, who said, "Hello, LR. Rob, I was thrilled that you mentioned Rocky's Boots last week." Well, I was thrilled to bring it up. I love that game. "I didn't get to spend as much time as I wanted with that game when I was little because I never owned it myself, but I remember how much fun I had with it in the short time that I played it. I wonder if it'd be worth finding again for when my daughter is old enough to try it." You probably wouldn't have to look that hard. I'm almost positive it's on that archive website, you know, the library archive that has all the old games. I'm almost positive it's there. Although I did hear, we didn't get into it on tonight's show, but I did hear there's some type of lawsuit coming up against that archive, and it might threaten its existence, because I don't think it's specifically the video game part of it, but I think there's other stuff that they're archiving that copyright holders are taking issue
the
with.
Books or something, because it's bypassing sort of like loaning. I don't remember what the issue was, but it's book publishers that are having some problems with it.
Yeah, you're right. It is the book publishers, but that could trickle down and have an effect on the game part of it. Regardless, it's the internet, and if you really wanted to find a Commodore 64 and Apple II ROM, it's not that hard to do, so just putting that out there. Anyway, YYR continues in the email. "I did want to mention that it wasn't actually published by MECC. It was actually a product of the Learning Company. But MECC had so much great output as well, including Odell Lake, Number Munchers, and of course the Oregon Trail." You know what? And I always got the Learning Company and MECC confused, so I'm not particularly... And you know what? A lot of those like Apple II games were hard to distinguish from one another. So I think if it was an edutainment game that existed, I kind of just defaulted it to MECC. But I appreciate the clarification. You're absolutely right. Let's give credit where credit is due. "Never mind that, though," says YYR. "The most important part of this email is what I attached. When I was in high school, I knew a guy who was part of a punk ska band called Fix. The band wasn't around for very long, but one of its songs was dedicated to Rocky's Boots, the game. It is awesome, and I hope you can play it on air. I'm very sorry, YYR. You picked the worst night to send me an audio clip 30 minutes before the show, because I was literally like, the smush clip that y'all saw on Twitch was done like minutes before we were on air. So it was just a bad night for that. I'm sorry, buddy. But I think he says he'll put it in Discord, and that's great. I did listen to it, and it did rock. Anyway, it is awesome, and I hope you can play it on air. I scoured the internet, and I couldn't find any trace of it. Shazam had no clue what it was, and the band broke up over 20 years ago, so I'm pretty sure you're in the clear. But if you can't play it after all, I'll stick it in the VOG Discord. Anyway, thanks for the show, and have a great week. Stay healthy, happy, and sane, Aaron, or YYR. Oh, I didn't even think about the fact that technically I'm not supposed to play copyright music, but it was just a little clip, and I'm sure it would have, like you said, it would have been fine. But sadly, it was like the worst night to send me a clip. I'm sorry. But put it in Discord because it's funny. And I love that. I love songs based off games. So, yeah. All right. Let's get to some more emails. Frodo Swaggins is next. Hey, all. I already brought this up in chat, but was wondering if you had any thoughts. Not sure if you know who this is. Dr. Disrespect is an insanely popular streamer, got permanently banned off of Twitch, and just sort of disappeared. Everyone is super confused as to what happened. Twitch won't say why, and neither will the doctor. Apparently, he brought up conspiracy theorist David Icke on stream shortly after he read something on his phone and got emotional, and his stream ended. I just find it odd that no one knows anything or won't speak up. No idea what David would have do with violation Twitch policies, but that's what some people think. No worries if you haven't heard of it. Yes, I've heard of it, because I'm going to be honest, and I'm sorry if you're a fan. I'm not like directing anger at you, but I don't get why this guy is famous. I don't get it. And I kind of thought he would have got banned after he took the camera into the bathroom at E3, because like that wasn't funny. And I kind of feel like this whole like disrespect, edgelord. I kind of think that stuff was the attitude we're trying to get away from in games. And look, I'm not going to like shit on those of you that enjoy it, because like, okay, I still laugh at South Park once in a while. Okay, I get it. There's a time and a place for bathroom humor, but I don't get this guy, and I don't get why he had all this fame. So yes, I did hear about it happened, and I don't know the reason why either. We here at OLR do not have any extra information, I'm sorry to say. And if he's not saying anything and Twitch isn't saying anything, the reality is we're probably never going to know what happened. He might write a tell-all book. I imagine that's where something like this goes. So maybe you'll find out at that point. But nobody really owes anybody an explanation, so that part's kind of difficult as well. So yeah, I don't know what else to add to that.
I don't know. Like, my coworker is a big fan of his, and I tried watching some of his stuff, and like, I get the appeal because the character was kind of funny, but then there was a lot of stuff recently that he's done that's just like weird and just like spreading conspiracy theories and stuff like that. I don't understand where there's a place for that.
Yeah.
And then of course there's the personal drama they went through, and then the drama at E3. And I think what Twitch is trying to do right now is get away from all the drama. And there's been a lot of bans with, you know, folks that have been accused of different, you know, misconduct stuff. So I don't know if it's just because of all the other things. Who knows what the specific thing is this time. And there's also, on the flip side of that, there's a lot of people that probably should have been banned and haven't been banned. I don't really care about the drama because I'm here for the games. So it's unfortunate if you're a fan of his and, you know, he's off the air and you'll just have to wait for him to say, you know, what the reason is behind it. And hey, I hear that Facebook Gaming's looking for some brand new faces for their platform. So, you know.
Perfect. But he couldn't go by he'd have to use his real name on Facebook Gaming. Perfect. Just, put that over there. Perfect.
It's just, there's so much drama out there, and I get it, you know, that we're all bored at home and stuff like that, but like I just, you know, the character's fine, you know, and it's just all the other drama that's around with it that's, I just don't really care for it. I've got, you know, limited amount of time in my day, and I'd rather watch someone that's, you know, more entertaining.
There are hundreds of other streamers, thousands of other streamers that can fill time, and I'm sure you will enjoy watching as much as you enjoyed this guy. But I was not a fan. So I just, okay, he's gone. Cool. All right. Anyway, sorry. I'm such a dick tonight. I'm sorry, guys. Like, it's supposed to be a happy night. We're turning 18, but well. All right. Anyway, let's get to our next email, which is from, I appreciate the question and that you asked us. And again, I'm not trying to be a jerk to you. Everybody likes what they like, whatever. I just never understood why this guy was popular. But maybe I'm just old. Maybe I'm one of those people who's like, I don't understand why the kids today listen to this rock music. It's just, maybe I'm hitting that point in my life. I don't know. Anyway, moving on to our next email. Last email from Brad. I believe this is our buddy Brad from Pod Culture, who says, congrats on hitting 18, y'all. This is one hell of a milestone. You guys have been a part of my Sunday nights for so many years now. I can't count the number of games and hours of fun that I've had because of something I've heard about on your show. You guys were the key inspiration for doing my own show with friends, and it was a huge honor to have been asked for that same show to be a part of VOG. Had it not been for the family that has grown around your show and Bobby's, certain dark times in my life would have been a lot darker and probably would not have turned out as positive as they did. And I'm still humbled by that. Thank you. It is great having y'all around as part of my Sunday night routine. Here is looking forward to another 18 or more. Peace, Brad. Well, if we go for 18 more years, I'll be 60 years old. So that'll be something. But thank you for those kind words. I'm glad we could help. I'm glad you're part of the family. And I welcome everybody that is here to treat others with respect and just have fun. Have like kind of like what Loki said, honestly, just have fun playing games and leave the drama. I'm not into, and Bobby said it in chat too. And I remember a day and a time when fighting with other streamers and other broadcasters and stuff was funny. And it's not funny. Like, we need to be lifting each other up, because you know what? Do you know how often, like, podcasters are the butt of jokes in this day and age and all that stuff? It's like, we need to be working together to get past some of that crap and not bringing each other down. So that's that. All right. Anyway, moving on. That's it for emails. We encourage more emails in future weeks. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails. Again, that's participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Meanwhile, we have a few more stories for you. Loki.
All right. So there, speaking of, we were talking a little bit about Facebook gaming earlier. Well, another portion of Facebook is dedicated to Oculus. And Oculus has decided that they're going to be discontinuing the Oculus Go, which was their kind of their first foray to the wireless self-contained VR platforms. Of course, now you may remember they have the Oculus Quest, which is just better all around. And so, unfortunately, they said it'll still receive security patches and bug fixes through 2022, but they're not shipping any new features starting now. And they won't update the storefront after December 18th of this year.
Isn't this kind of just like a logical thing? Like, oh, we're not selling Windows 7 anymore because now there's Windows 10. And we'll support Windows 7 for a little bit, but someday we're going to pull the plug on that. Like, it's just that kind of thing. Like, there's now this unit that does essentially the same thing. So go get that one.
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, it makes sense. There's better hardware, more features that are in the Oculus Quest, and it's just harder to probably support this older system when they're trying to push people to a better platform. So, I mean, that's tech for you.
You know what Facebook should do with Oculus, though? They should sell it to somebody else and not have it anymore. And this is not me being one of those, why did Facebook buy Oculus? I completely understand why Facebook bought Oculus. I just say, again, Facebook needs less, not more. If certain things are to, you know, that maybe they are going to look at antitrust stuff on Facebook, I bet Facebook will be under pressure to unload. I don't know if Oculus would be one of the things, but I bet Instagram. Because remember when they bought Instagram, that was a huge deal too?
Yeah.
I bet they would be under a lot of pressure to unload Instagram. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, sorry. That's me being an old bitchy man again. No shade on Oculus. I'm glad it exists and so forth. I just don't like their owners. All right. Let's move on. Hey, this is some good news. I have no complaints about this. This is a great story. It's Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, for one, was an underrated gem on the GameCube because so few people actually bother to hook up the Game Boy Advances and play it all that way. But those that did do it have fond memories of doing so. So it's pretty exciting that it's going to get a second life on the Switch. And what I think is awesome, it was just announced that when the game launches on August 27th, there will be a free demo available for Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. It will have 3 free dungeons as a part of the demo, so you can just try that out. But if you team up with somebody that has the full game, you can actually go to 13 dungeons without having to buy anything extra. So it opens up a lot more to explore in the demo version. So it's an interesting kind of compromise between having everything and having just a little bit. It's like, oh, you get a little more if a friend has the game. And that definitely like throws back to like the DS era, which, again, I know this was more like a GameCube, Game Boy Advance thing, but the DS wasn't far behind. And remember when we could, like, beam demos of games, or, like, one person has the DS game and they could beam it to others and everybody could kind of connect that way? So it kind of, like...
I thought they had one, though, for the Wii and the DS.
Crystal Chronicles?
Yeah.
Did they? I thought they, like, announced it, but it never went anywhere.
I'm sorry. It was Chocobo Mystery Dungeon. It's the same concept where they had it both.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Orange Wright says, it's too bad download play isn't built into the Switch. But isn't it interesting how we're seeing games kind of use it anyway? Because Clubhouse Games is another one that's doing this. And then Pac-Man Versus, I think, had that player. Or, like, it was a Namco collection that had Pac-Man Versus in it, and you could get the player. It was really early on in the Switch's life, because I think I remember grabbing it for Dragon Con or something.
Yeah, I think for the reason why download play isn't really a thing on the Switch is because the ROM sizes are much larger on like a portable system like the DS or the 3DS versus the stuff that's in the Switch. Whereas the Switch, it's not huge, but to beam all that stuff over there, it's just not feasible to do it super quick.
Yeah, it would be pretty heavy on network traffic, but... it is kind of neat that you can still, like, you know, you download the local copy and then you're able to do this stuff. I think that's going to be great for Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. I look forward to playing it. So,
yeah,
I remember playing it a little bit, but I never got very far because how many people had that whole setup? I had an ex that had the Game Boy Advance, that whole thing, so I could play with him. But, like, we only ever played like 2 or 3 times. So anyway. All right. Moving on. A few more stories for you. Loki.
All right, and so we know about the Xbox Series X and what to kind of expect there. What we don't know about is some of these leaks and information coming about some sort of system called codenamed Lockhart, which the thought is it's going to be a lower-powered version of the Xbox Series X. Some are thinking that it's going to be like an Xbox Series S, whereas, you know, we have the Xbox One S as well that... could be maybe an only digital system or a system that may be dedicated to just current-gen Xbox One games. No words on exactly what that's going to be, but we know that there's some information based on the XDK and GDK release notes for June 2020 that reference the Lockhart profiling and stuff. And it lists these different dev kit. It kind of refers back to that. So... I guess we'll find out later on what that means. I don't know.
Very interesting. I guess we'll find out in July, because that's when we're supposed to get everything on the table about Xbox Series X. So some of these rumors will be addressed then. And I think now most people are kind of anticipating Microsoft will end up being the cheaper console one way or another. The question is just how cheap does it end up? And what do the features kind of look like versus the other? Because we know PlayStation 5, there's disc and there's no disc. Like, you can, you know, otherwise they're probably going to be the same thing. Microsoft, yeah. Who knows? Could one rely more on cloud gaming or some of these other things that you're talking about? It maybe, you know, won't be there. It'll be interesting. Plus, something else to consider, your Xbox One is still going to play a lot of stuff. So maybe it takes some of the pressure off of upgrading pretty fast. I don't know. It's interesting, but I do feel like we're going to get all the answers pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm waiting for more announcements. That event coming in July, so pretty soon, next couple weeks.
She-Hulk10 in chat says they should be giving out these consoles for free. Well, let's not forget, Microsoft did toy with the whole like cell phone style Xbox at one point. And what I mean by that,
yeah, only through those Microsoft retail centers, which, yeah, which don't exist anymore.
Don't exist anymore. But you never know; they might partner with Facebook or something. No, they'll partner with somebody. They'll partner with somebody maybe to offer the whole like subsidized if you get a certain year subscription to Gold Path. I don't know. I'm being a little silly, but we've seen the consoles try to take what works for cell phones and make it work for them. That part doesn't really seem to be stopping. So it'll be interesting.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they announce. I mean, we'll know hopefully soon enough.
Absolutely. All right, one more story here before we get to the last-minute stuff. And the listener roundtable, if you guys have any questions or comments for us in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, by all means, say hello, ask your question. And this one is kind of a, is this really news? We knew this was going to happen, but it is official. The Super Nintendo World theme park opening at Universal Studios in Japan will be delayed. You want to guess why? Yep, it's COVID-19. So Super Nintendo World will not be opening, even though Universal Studios in Japan opened to visitors once again on June 8th, because, you know, in other places, believe it or not, in a lot of other countries, they got COVID a little more under control than they do here. So there's that. Not to say it's completely under control, but they have it a little more under control. So Japan opened up theme parks again with precautions on June 8th, but Super Nintendo World is not going to be opening as a result right away. And so they've delayed the Nintendo area opening until later. And no, it was going to be late July. We don't know the new date now. And it's because, of course, when they open this new land, they're anticipating they're going to get more visitors that are wanting to check out the new land. And right now they don't want a flood of visitors because social distancing is still supposed to be a thing. They actually want to keep attendance down at a manageable levels. In fact, right now only people can visit the theme park if you live in the surrounding Kansai region. And so it's really cut the number of visitors way, way down. Otherwise, Super Nintendo World is pretty much finished. So once COVID is taken care of, we have vaccine, effective treatment, herd immunity, whatever it is that takes care of this thing at the end of the day, Super Nintendo World will be like ready to open. That means when air travel can resume again, so you can go to Japan and all that stuff.
I'm just waiting for them to open it up in Hollywood. Because I know they're working on it over there too, or at least they're supposed to be at some point.
Well,
I guess that'll be 2022.
Super Nintendo Land was really supposed to open in tandem with the Tokyo Olympics, and it was supposed to be like not in tandem, but you know what I mean.
And
like,
it still will.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now with the Olympics being postponed to next year, maybe it still will. So there is that. So, SG100 Matt points out in chat, Disneyland delayed their opening. Can't imagine Disney World will open on time either. Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people are crapping on the theme park opening stuff, and, you know, precautions are very important, and you just have to wear the damn mask. Wear the damn mask. If people, and that's why this country's having a problem. Where are all these crazy people at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods that are screaming at the camera and screaming at people about how masks are oppressive and all stuff in other countries? It's not happening in other countries because other countries, they just wear the masks. Here, they don't do it. And that's why we're not going anywhere. I would argue it has very little to do with certain reopenings. They've already proved the protests to not have the impact because people at protests wore their goddamn masks. And there were people at protest who were dedicated to handing out masks to those that didn't have them. And you didn't have those crazy people at the protest. They didn't belong. That's it. You want to know why COVID's still around? Look at the people in those videos. Anyway. I've gone on too many rants tonight. Sorry. We're up for our listener roundtable. If you'd like to participate with our show, if you have any questions or anything for us in chat, go for it. Otherwise, I will look to my co-host Loki to see if there's any last minute stories. I thought there were a few things we didn't get to yet.
There's a couple things that also weren't on the show roll. So there's one thing that someone has developed a brand new exploit for the PlayStation 2 that allows you to play homebrew discs on the system without any mods needing to be done to the system. No USB keys, nothing. It is just a way to burn a disc that'll actually play it on the system without any problems. Pretty amazing.
Hmm.
It's a free DVD boot, and it exploits, I guess, the DVD playing portion of the PlayStation 2, which sadly rules out my PlayStation 2 because the DVD drive, I think, is broken on it. But apparently it causes the... it triggers a corruption in video playback and then runs the game through that security hole. Pretty crazy that we're developing this stuff already. But, yeah. So there's that. And then one other thing I was going to mention is there's some possible leaks about what the announcements are going to be at Evo this year. So some of the announcements, including a Marvel vs. Capcom Invitational, they're going to announce a collection that includes X-Men Children of the Atom all the way through Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I guess kind of similar to what we had with the Arcade 1-Up cabinets, but just like in the collection. They're saying that they're going to announce Fei Long, Alina, and some new character who's a guerrilla member of the Neo Shadaloo. And some of the additional announcements, Tekken 7, Christy Montanaro, Dr. I can't pronounce the name, Boxkonovich, and a guest character, Kamen Rider 01. So, neat.
Before we get to another story, since you brought up Arcade 1-Up, guess what email I just got a couple hours ago? I got an email from UPS saying I have a package coming tomorrow and somebody needs to be here to sign for it. And it's very heavy.
Oh, boy.
Coming from Los Angeles. So I have to decide if I want to do like a stream of putting that together or not. I don't know.
Because, yeah, it's like IKEA.
I feel like the only time Alan and I really, really, truly fight is when we're trying to put together furniture. So that might be the type of thing we don't want to broadcast. So we'll see. I don't know. I have to see how hard it is first. I need to go back and watch Bobby's video when he got a Star Wars cabinet and see how difficult of an undertaking it's going to be. But I'm really excited that that's showing up. And again, if you don't know, I bought myself a birthday present because my birthday was this last week. And they just, like, the timing of the shipment just worked out. I got one of the limited edition. I think there's only like 3,000 or, you know, 3,000 and change Burger Time Arcade 1-Up machines. So I get to find out what number I am too. That'll be fun too.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
That'll be fun.
So cool. Ooh, wow. Bobby said it took 4 hours to put that thing together. My gosh. All right.
Like fun.
Let me get some other questions from chat. Okay. Bobby says don't stream it. It takes too long. Okay. Fair enough. Let's see. Question from She-Hulk 10, who says, there are so many great games on the market and so little time. How do you guys choose what game to play and finish? Good question. You know, a lot of times a game just kind of has to hold my attention long enough for another game to not come in and eclipse it. And then has to hope that the social games that I play, like the MMOs online, also don't knock it out of me paying attention to it either. And it's one of those easier said than done sort of things. Like I have really bad attention span issues when it comes to video games. So when I do take the time to sit down and really finish a video game, play it start to finish, something like the Final Fantasy VII Remake is probably the most recent one. I think that really is a compliment to the game. And usually it's like I have to know what happens in the story, or I need to see how this turns out, or it's a franchise that I've been a fan of for a long time, or what have you. I don't know, Loki, how do you pick and choose?
It's just whatever, you know, whatever holds my interest. And, you know, a lot of times it's just, you know, I've got so many to play. So, yeah, it could be whoever holds my interest, or, you know, what people are playing at that given time. You know, if I want to get in on that stuff. I don't know. I know, like, I have a huge library of things I haven't gotten around to playing. And we're in Steam summer sale time, and I'm still looking at things. So, you know
how it goes. I looked at the Steam summer sale as well. And thankfully, I resisted so far. I'm kind of like, all right, I've got plenty of games.
It's still going on for another 2 weeks.
Plenty of games.
Or a week and a half.
I can never sit here and go, I have nothing to play, because I still, there's that itch.io bundle. I'll never run out of things to play. So it's just a matter of just what grabs my attention. What in the moment says, oh, this is shiny, I want to check this out. And that's really what it is. So,
yeah, there's a lot of games, like a lot of VR games I've been looking at. I'm like, ooh, I want to get that. And then I'm like, when am I really going to play that? Or, you know, just things that, oh, yeah, you know, that's on my wish list. Maybe I should. And no, I'm not going to play it. I'm still going to get it, but I'm not going to play it.
SSJ100 Matt says, did we talk about Rogue Legacy 2? I forgot that announcement trailer came out this week. No, we didn't yet. I'll check that out. I think it's interesting, too. I saw kind of like the discussion in Discord about that it's using the whole, like, it costs less money if you buy it early. And then it'll cost more money by the time it actually comes out, because it's kind of like they're taking some of the money out because you're kind of effectively beta testing it in a way. And so that's it. I mean, heck, Minecraft was the same way, wasn't it? Wasn't it cheap when it was first out? And then when they like finally were like, okay, Minecraft's a real game now, they kind of bumped up the price another $10, I think. So maybe that was just because Microsoft bought it. I don't know. But yeah, and some other comments in chat. Autica was cheaper on early access. Yeah. So Rogue Legacy 2 is doing that. I thought the first one was great. I really enjoyed it. I'm kind of surprised it took this long for them to announce a second one. But maybe it's, you know, games don't show up overnight. It's probably just taken a while to develop, and now it's ready to be shown. So that's exciting. That was really one of the first like roguelikes I remember really playing when that genre really started to take off. I think it was an early PlayStation Plus game or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
That's pretty much it as far as news I had. What I'm probably going to end up doing at some point is going through. I like to sort by least expensive and see what they have offering there. I did that on the eShop the other week, and I got a game for a penny.
Oh, but yeah. They didn't have to. You were mentioning buying games for like 9 cents, a penny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, I got to have something for my kids to play. So,
all right.
I don't know.
Well, I guess with that, we're going to move to wrap up the show. Thank you guys so much for downloading and listening to our show this week, or maybe you were listening live on Twitch. Thank you guys for your support over 18 years. And, you know, we're going to keep on going. I hope you guys liked some of the little flourishes we added to the show tonight, just to keep things fun, not just on Twitch, but on the podcast feed as well. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to put out on the air, then we're missing something. So we need to get more voices here. So help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. That word of mouth goes an awfully long way. Auto hosts on Twitch are also amazing, and we really appreciate those when you can set those up. So thank you to everybody who hosts us on Twitch. Thank you to all the new followers and the bit donations and all that. I'll read those after the show, after the credits, since we are taping for the podcast feed. And I appreciate those of you listening on the podcast as well. Drop us an email sometime. Say hi. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com. We also welcome the tweets at OLR. So if you want to send us tweets, we do read those as well. With that, I think we are to final thoughts. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I need to play something other than Minecraft, but probably not going to happen. Maybe I'll play one of these games that are on the on my Steam library.
All right. My final thought is happy Pride. Black lives still matter. I really like that new redesign of the Pride flag with the chevron with the other colors in it to represent trans and people of color. I think that's great. As far as video games are concerned, I'm looking forward to getting into more, probably actually putting in some hours on Xenoblade this week, because I didn't put in a lot last week. And I'm looking forward to playing more this next week. Try to diversify. I want to play a little more of The Messenger, because that game was fun too. So we'll be back in 7 days to talk about what we've been doing in the week and recap the gaming news as we get closer and closer to more console reveals and all that fun stuff for what we can expect in the holiday. So be safe, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Have a wonderful night. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.